go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yes, indeed, we are off and running for the end of let's just say we're off and running for the end of the first half of the month of August 2019. This is the 16th day of August 2019. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I'm doing a little audio experimentation at the moment, just to see what it would sound like to get a pair of RE20s going from like 45 degree angles. Interesting, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of audio experimentation going on, especially over the weekend. There's some tweaking yet to do with the new audio configuration. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where I'm headed right now to sign in to the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. You, yourself, are welcome to wander on by as long as you're not some miserable little wingnut. If you are a miserable little wingnut, and you announce yourself to be so, you can expect to be lightsabered in short order. Okay? If you're not, though, and you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, well, by Jove, you'll be greeted by the early arrival Friday on the Front Porch crowd. Anatole, Dowhead, Otto, Squeaky, Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, while being a spacing guild master, a third stage guild navigator, as a matter of fact, well, he's just not, guys, he's not into folding space into a burning hot nebula. So he's remaining Sparky. You'll also be moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Now, it is Friday on the Front Porch, so I should mention that if you want to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable this week, the link is up over at headon.live. Just click on that Skype link, and it'll bring you into the conversation with no further ado and no hustle and no bustle and no trouble whatsoever. So feel free to make yourself part of that conversation. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward. Front Porch is hot on both streams. Hot diggity. And that means the packets are passing and the electrons are doing what electrons do, and darn, we're buffering. Huh. Let's see if we can figure out why. Yep, buffered right up and quit is what we did. Clear blue sky. Who knows? No, I'm still connected to the interweb tubes. Well, I've gotten it restarted. The stream, that is. I hope that's not a thing we have to deal with for the rest of the evening. It's a possibility, though. Just got to be aware of it. This program, like every other, begins with gratitude. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to Reinhard out there on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Timothy. Thank you to Glenn up in New York. Thank you to Brock. And thank you to Timothy, other Timothy, who has stepped in to double as he promised. Some new subscriber subscriptions again this month. Thank you. And let me also note that it appears that someone had some fun at our expense last week. You may recall I read a note from someone who said, you know, I want to help keep the program going, and I'm kicking in $500. Well, that was apparently what passes for humor among white wingers, you know, little turds. Because, well, I'm not going to tell you how I know, but I got a pretty good idea that that's the case. So the fundraising goal goes up by that duplicitous amount. And we'll deal with that next week. But as it stands, the fundraising goal, will be completely wiped out if folks meet Chris from Germany's challenge, which Chris has kindly put on the table this evening. $200. Finish the first half of the month in good order, Chris suggested. So there's a $200 challenge on the table. Your 5 becomes 10, your 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 40. Heck, your $100 becomes $200, all the way up to $200. So we've got the fundraising goal wiped out for the week if we can meet Chris's challenge. And then on top of that, there's the $500 that our little humorous right-wing friend said was coming, but of course isn't. I happen to be in Beckley today, so I checked the mailbox, and of course nothing there. So I'm assuming, based on other data that I have at my disposal, that was a lie. Ron and Raleigh saying, hey, let's pool our money. If we pool our resources, we could put in a competing bid for Greenland. Just who the everlasting fuck does the Marmalade Mugabe think he is? Thomas Jefferson? Trump's folly? Well, the entire United States is Trump's folly, Ron. We're all the butt of his sick and twisted joke. The Greenland story has gotten some legs, though, because coupled with the fact that last night he was repeating himself like your aging granddaddy at the Thanksgiving dinner table. I mean, he got the maggots whipped into a white, and I do mean white hot fury last night, and then within 30 minutes was repeating himself. This does not bode well. In point of fact, one of the commentators over on MSNBC this evening on that program hosted by George W. Bush's, one of his former enablers, she suggested that the remedy is the 25th Amendment, lo and behold. Yeah, I guess they're the multimillionaire for-profit media. You really can't expect them to keep up with the likes of us. Because we've known this for quite some time. But as it turns out, let me see if I can find the exact phrase. There it is. Joyce Vance, former U.S. attorney from the state of Alabama, who's gotten a gig at MSNBC. She said, you know, there's pervasive reporting in this regard, and if it was Grandpa, you'd probably take him to see a neurologist or someone who specializes in geriatric medicine. And continued, the remedy is the 25th Amendment, and that requires an intact cabinet. And that's true as far as it goes. Joyce hasn't quite caught up with the horn, though, because we know that there's an escape clause in the 25th Amendment in case the Congress should ever realize that there's a servile lick-spittle cabinet that doesn't give a tinker's damn about the United States of America or we the people in our efforts to build that more perfect union. You know the phrase in Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. Or such other body as Congress may by law provide. It would be nice if somebody else besides me and us, we, would take note of that little phrase tucked away there and start arguing that maybe the Congress should get busy figuring out what such other body as Congress may by law provide would look like, or what that phrase means, or what it, or what such body and providing for it would entail. But bless their hearts, we're way out at front, out front of them here, and they're at least, well, they're struggling to catch up. I want to thank Lady B for getting us started this evening. Thank you, Lady B. That means down to 390. And thank you very kindly to Libby as well. So that all taken together, that means 30 bucks, which equals 60, of Chris's $200 challenge has been met. So there's 170 bucks worth of doubling money out there available for anybody who wants to jump in. Thank you. Thank you, Libby. And thank you, Lady B. As Brother Deacon Asa pointed out to me earlier today, it looks like... Let me find the exact language here because I want to get it absolutely right. Mr. Espersen of Denmark. Brother Deacon Asa saying, apparently Mr. Espersen tunes into the horn from time to time. If he is truly contemplating this, meaning the trying to buy Greenland, if he's truly contemplating this, then this is final proof that he has gone mad. Yes, Soren Espersen of Denmark, the foreign affairs spokesperson for the Danish People's Party, speaking to the broadcaster DR. This is final proof that he has gone mad. Gone mad. Again, catching up, trying to keep up with our little community here. Darlene in Connecticut saying, yeah, and I think that with Trump's recent comments that the U.S. should open or reopen institutions for the mentally ill, that he has all but invited Congress to explore that one little phrase in the 25th, specific to assessing his mental fitness to presidenting. Great word that, presidenting. Presidenting. Now, I've heard a lot of people wondering, well, I mean, they just see that, well, he wants to buy Greenland and they realize that he's gone barking mad. But there is a question of why. What would motivate something like that? Do we still have military bases in Greenland or a military base? if that's the case, then we pay rent for the privilege of having one there. And we all know that he's nothing if not a complete skinflint. He pisses and moans about the money that the United States pays to maintain our Pax Americana in the world. He's pissed and moaned at the South Koreans, at the Japanese, at the Germans, at every one of our NATO allies.
We defend them, and they don't pay their fair share.
Right? So that's a possible explanation for why he would want to buy Greenland. He thinks that if Greenland were part of the United States, that we wouldn't have to pay for the military base there. Theory number two. He wants to serve as a real estate broker. He wants to buy Greenland and then sell it to Mother Russia. Because really, Greenland, I don't know. Maybe he'd like to put a Trump Tower, terrible lice and bedbug infested shithole hotel there. But that is not my favorite theory. Ah, thank you, Ralphs. Thule Air Base. That's the air base in Greenland. Help asks, Jim, did the U.S. try to buy Greenland back in 1946 for $100 million? I don't know. Don't know the answer to that question. I wasn't around. But I do know that that Grandpa Spirakeet has had this buzzing around in the thin gray settlings that slosh between his ears and pass for brains for a while. And because he's got advisors who are just a bunch of pathetic lickspittles, well, some of his advisors have supported the concept, saying it was good economic play, while others dismissed it as a fleeting fascination that will never come to fruition. Well, okay, so he's been... Why? Well, this is my theory. It may or may not have any relevance. Some of the most damning evidence for both the existence and effects of the climate crisis are the result of analyses in Greenland. You may recall at one of his Clavering rallies the other night, it's about the only time that he gets any pleasure. He struts around the stage and shakes his tiny fists like a little baby excited to go on an amusement park ride. But there was a passage about windmills. And once again, he repeated that same old line, "Darling, I want to watch Donald Trump on TV. Well, I'm sorry, dearest, the wind's not blowing, so there's no electricity." He thinks that's so clever, when in fact it is such a manifest confession of just brazen stupidity. But we know he despises the reality of the climate crisis. And he despises renewable energy, particularly because he got his ass handed to him, his adipose, oversized ass, handed to him by the Scots when he tried to prevent wind turbines from being deployed within the view of one of the golf courses that he bought in Scotland, that had once been perhaps respectable, but immediately became a shithole golf course the minute that he took ownership of it. He pissed and moaned about the wind turbines, lost his ass. The locals who lived near the golf course made a complete mockery of him. And so ever since then, he has been an implacable foe of renewable energy. But like I said, some of the most damning evidence of the climate crisis comes from research that is being done in Greenland. And I'm probably one of the few people that's going to say this because, well, I'm one of the few people that can draw this particular line between dots. Because I remember relatively early in his maladministration when in August, about 2 years ago, 2017, he had a review by the by the National Science Foundation, quashed. That review was of the science that spoke to the grave public health crisis that has been occasioned in Central Appalachia as a result of decades of massive blasting here in the Sacrifice Zone to get at thin, shitty little seams of coal to make a fast buck for coal companies and banks. As you know, because you're a member of this community, that evidence is damning indeed. And it shows that innocent human beings are being sacrificed for the profits of a few coal barons and banking oligarchs. Well, the review was almost done, and it was almost certain to come back in our favor. Knowing this, the Trump regime stopped it illegally, canceled the grant that had already been provided, took the $500,000 remaining in the grant and stole it, and has refused to account for it ever since. This is the response of these anti-science thugs when things don't go their way. And since, as I said, there has been a ton of evidence of the climate crisis developed by research in Greenland, if he could get his hands on Greenland, the spirochetes are probably telling him that he could stop the research into the climate crisis. It made sense to me, and I think it'll make sense to you if you sort of let it simmer for a little bit. Just something to ponder. By the way, Steve King has been doubling down on his incest and rape arguments. Yeah. And Twitter won't do a damn thing. At Jack won't do Jack about it. Julian Castro has gone after them. Twitter. Because because Steve King, idiot, decided to go after one of his betters in the form of Julian Castro. Castro tweeting, Steve King has no place in Congress. Time and again, he has embarrassed himself and denigrated his office. And went on to say, hey, at Jack, I thought Twitter was working to remove white supremacists from the platform. Because Steve King may actually be more of a white supremacist than Nitwit Nero is. Meanwhile, though, Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, you know, I think he needs his own program with Ken Cuccinelli. It could be called Mooch and Cooch. Well, Twitter suspended Mooch's Twitter account because Scaramucci said that, well, and he's right. He's absolutely, because if you think through it, William Howard Taft, Woodrow Wilson, Warren Gamaliel Harding, Calvin Coolidge, Hubert Hoover, FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, LBJ, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Pappy Bush, Bill Clinton, dim leader, Obama, and now Trump. Well, the Mooch, for whom I carry no water and bear no love, simply observed on Twitter that, well, Nitwit Nero is, in his words, the fattest president since Taft. It is a true statement. And as a rather hefty human being myself, I feel nothing untoward at all about pointing out a verifiable, documentable fact. But at Jack, who was upbraided a couple of months back by the Tangerine Tiberius, well, I guess he sent out orders to suspend Scaramucci because DeMooch has been rioting and beating Donald Trump like the proverbial borrowed mule for over a week now. So, just to recap, Steve King, racist white supremacist, still on Twitter. Donald J. Trump, racist white supremacist, still on Twitter. DeMooch, former bosom buddy of Donald J. Trump, gone from Twitter for stating, again, a verifiable fact. Yeah. On the subject of Greenland, Clarence says, when I was on active duty, there was a base called Thule. I retired in 1990. And it is there to this day, if I understand correctly. Darlene in Connecticut, thinking along similar lines, Bob, are all past and current nuclear accidents and meltdowns perchance recorded in the snow of Greenland? Thinking of the latest mystery in Russia and Putin's secrecy about it, all absolutely frightening. Isn't Trump sort of a fan of Lincoln? Is Trump thinking in his mid-dementia state that Greenland could be his Louisiana Purchase as it was for Jefferson? Or Alaska as it was for Lincoln? Like Melania, these Trumps have no original thoughts or ideas. They can only copy others. Steve in New York says, I can now imagine the following from a cabinet meeting. No, seriously, while yelling and beating his fists on his armrests, all I ask is that we have sharks with frickin' laser beams. We're there. Life imitates art. Yep, it sure does. And now to something that, I didn't hear any mention of it in the for-profit media today. Didn't hear anything yesterday when after I'd first seen the article. I first became aware of Mariana Atencio over on NBC, MSNBC, during one of the hurricanes. Maybe it was back when one of the cranky little trolls was sending me email bragging about how he was betting on he was betting on people needing water after a hurricane hit South Florida and hoped to make a killing on their suffering. And I remember Agnes and I seeing Mariana Atencio. I get the idea, and these are not, this is not criticism or any kind of shaming, but we got the idea that she's about 5 foot nothing, and probably if you dunked her in the Atlantic Ocean and set her on a scale sopping wet, she might weigh 90 pounds. She appears to be a little thing. She's lovely. She's bilingual. She's obviously brilliant, and she has traveled and done yeoman work along the southern border and in South Florida, and has a talent for bringing out needed information from people that most of America would never understand, because most of America can't get past, like me, habla español. Reminds me of that old Far Side cartoon by... Now, you remember the Far Side. And there's a couple of professors standing in lab coats next to a blackboard, and they're standing in front of a pool. And there's a couple of dolphins who have raised themselves up out of the water, and the one scientist says to the other, "I don't know what's going on here. They just keep making that habla español noise." Yeah. Well, she's a real live reporter, Mariana Atencio. When we saw her covering the hurricane, Agnes and I were afraid that she would be blown away by, a 15-mile-an-hour gust. She has a new book out, Mariana Atencio. It's called Perfectly You, Embracing the Power of Being Real. I guess you could say that it's some sort of a self-help book. And probably part memoir. I have not read a lick of it. All I'm aware of is one passage in the book that was reported upon by Newsweek. And that part is that she says that in advance of the 2017 White House Correspondents' Dinner, to which she had been invited, a female manager there at NBC, MSNBC News, gave her a quick heads up before she went to the dinner. It was her first time going to the nerd prom. And I guess seething with jealousy that she wasn't going, the manager wrote to Mariana Atencio to give her, a couple of tips before she went to such an important gathering. in the book, Mariana Atencio explained that she said to her, "Mariana, I just wanted to make sure you're prepared for such a prestigious gathering." Now, this is an educated woman, Mariana Atencio, who has studied and worked to hone her craft, is a professional practitioner of it, appears on camera with grace and expertise, and yet this manager writes to her and says, "Mariana, I just wanted to make sure you're prepared for such a prestigious gathering. Please don't look too Latina." How the f*** do you look Latina? What was this female manager at NBC, MSNBC, thinking she was going to do? Show up with a sombrero and a poncho, riding a donkey at the White House Correspondents Association dinner? What does that mean? Don't look too Latina. Was she afraid that she was going to show up dressed like something out of one of those telenovelas? You know, the Spanish language soap operas that are where even the credits are steamy. But, and this is kind of a low grade hockey puck warning, there's more. "Please don't look too Latina. Why don't you go to Saks Fifth Avenue and have someone help you out?" There's nothing mentioned in here about the woman saying, "I'll pay." And frankly, unless you're writing the check, you don't get a say so in what kind of clothes she chooses. Under the subject line, "Pretty good little J school," David in South Carolina Stan says, "Mariana Atencio is a bilingual journalist working for MSNBC and NBC News out of Miami, Florida since September 2016. Atencio is a native of Venezuela and holds a master's degree from the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism." That's who was being addressed by this manager from MSNBC, NBC News. "Please don't look too Latina. Why don't you go to Saks Fifth Avenue and have someone help you out? Have them pick out something demure." Demure? What was she afraid of? That she was going to show up dressed like a Tijuana streetwalker? Fuck all. Denoive. "Have them pick out something demure. Not too colorful or tight." Oh. Not too colorful or tight. Will a burlap sack do, sister? But we can agree okay, yeah. Via email from Dave. She was afraid she was going to... Wait, I don't even know if this person's real or not. But I'll give a cowbell to it anyway. Dave says, and I say that just because we've been getting a whole bunch of spam. You know, but anyway, Dave says, "Don't show up looking like Carmen Miranda." Or for a slightly, now that would be my father's generation. And for the generation immediately ahead of me, and slightly mine because I can remember it from my own adolescence, don't show up looking like Charo on a Dean Martin roast. Not too colorful or tight. And no fruit basket hats. Great minds apparently think alike because immediately, even before the internet latency can catch up, I get a note from Steve in New York. You guys are great. Great minds think alike. So, dressing like Carmen Miranda's out? I would actually have loved to see her show up wearing that. And she would have had every right in the world if she'd shown up and headed for the first microphone and the first camera and said, well, I chose this outfit because a female manager told me not to dress too Latina. We're not done with this story yet, though. Kyle writing, don't look too Latina. One, what the fuck does that even mean? Two, what does that have to do with being a journalist? Three, who gives a fuck what nationality the woman is if she's good at her job, which apparently she is? Four, holy racism and xenophobia, Batman! Five, why does everyone fucking care what a woman looks like instead of her talents, personality, and so forth? All rhetorical, I know, says Kyle, but fuck's sake. Wouldn't you just love to know who that female manager was? Wouldn't you love to know her name? Shouldn't it run around? Shouldn't it run around the social media sphere like wildfire? I wonder if she's told Joy Reid not to look like such a negress. But like I said, we haven't gotten to the good, horrible part. Okay, thanks, Dave. Not spam, Dave says, but old as fuck.
Mariana, go to Saks Fifth Avenue. Have him pick out something demure. Try not to look too Roseanne Dana.
Made me sick! Yeah. No, here's the part that really countersinks the nail. Now, this is in NBC, MSNBC. And we live in the era of a nasty little wannabe fascist dictator. Emphasis on the syllable dick. And we were talking about moles the other night. And that undercovered story that, in fact, news of Jeffrey Epstein's suicide, it was ruled a suicide today, news of his suicide appeared on 4chan 38 minutes before ABC News broke the story. Moles. It's obvious there's a little white nationalist, white supremacist mole somewhere inside either the prison system there or in the EMS or in dispatch. Hard to say, but there's a mole. Well, there's a mole over at NBC, too. Because of all the people, first of all, you have to assume or at least process the nerve of some probably old white lady, because this entire quote has old white lady written all over it. The nerve of her to tell a woman who holds a master's degree from Columbia University how to dress. That's bad enough. But mole.
Have them pick out something demure, not too colorful or tight. Think Ivanka Trump, okay?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I would in the same or similar circumstances, I would show up at the White House Correspondents Association dinner looking like Carmen Miranda, Charo, Rosanna Dana, all put together on meth before I would ever let anyone even come close to saying, why, look, that looks like something the daughter of a guy who kidnaps children and puts them in cages would wear.
But Ivanka's so stylish.
Mariana Atencio doesn't give us a time frame for when this was said to her, but the question then arises, did she have time to go out and get her kidneys enlarged? Yep, there it is. Steve in New York says, I just threw up in my mouth. I give credit to Mariana Atencio for not shaving her head and showing up looking like Sinead O'Connor and denouncing whoever the woman was on live television. But in this book, Mariana Atencio continues and says, this person, that's mighty damn generous of her to refer to that thing as a person. This person was making me feel smaller and smaller with each word. Can you imagine someone in your field asking you to please not look so African-American or Asian or white? Don't look so Muslim. Don't look so Christian. How do you change who you are? I guess it's never going to happen, but I personally would find it hilarious to be told by a manager, well, Bob, you're going to get to go to the White House Correspondents Association dinner, you fucking hillbilly. Do us all a favor, would you? Leave the bib overalls at home. This is serious stuff. See if you can show a nickel's worth of class, would you, hillbilly? Because, see, that would earn such a person a big old fist right in the mouth. I mean, rent a tux, Bob, for God's sake. You don't have to go out and buy one or anything. But try to look like you know which fork to use with the shrimp. I shared this story because it's disgusting. And it's a little example of the kind of crap that women have to deal with in the workplace. What was it about Mariana Atencio, again, thanks David in South Carolina, Stan, who holds a master's degree in journalism from Columbia University, not associated with CBS? What is it that, in her credentials, that suggested she would not know how to dress? And by the way, any time I've ever seen her, I mean, when Agnes and I were worrying about her having to be strapped to a palm tree just to keep her on dry land in that hurricane, she was wearing, I think, a North Face, probably Gore-Tex-lined rain slicker. Not a fruit basket hat in sight.
Betcha I know how that female manager votes. Mole.
As Brother Deacon Asa puts it, regarding please don't look too Latina, translation, don't show up all swarthy looking. There we go. Ralph says, but just think, Bob, maybe Mariana Atencio's friend has read that passage and now all the world knows what she said. Yeah, that female manager. I have no doubt that anybody who works within that small cultural universe knows exactly who said that. At Lee in New York. Bib overalls. Isn't bib overalls also called Trumpansy casual wear? Now, Lee, I resemble that remark. Bib overalls is fine attire for most any formal occasion here in southern West Virginia. Or at least that's what the rest of the country probably thinks. Like Ivanka Trump.
Try to dress more demurely, kind of like Carla Pitacci. You know, that Ava Brown, she certainly dressed in a feminine and delightfully fascistly subservient fashion. Try to dress more like her.
Who in their right mind thinks that Ivanka Trump is a role model for anyone or anything? The 21st century's answer to Marie Antoinette. Jesus. Exactly. As my grandpa, God rest his soul, used to call them, Stephen New York says, bib overhauls. Precisely. And back in the good old day, they were made, some of the very best were made by Liberty. They were made in Alabama. And God, I think they would have withstood a nuclear blast at ground zero. Agnes and I wore them for the reception portion of our wedding. We still have them. And with the use of a crowbar, I can almost still get into mine. They're not particularly fetching, those bib overalls. But by God, they are functional as hell. Now, truthfully speaking, my favorite are the painter's overalls. As long as they're all cotton. Man, they shrink like a son of a gun. But they get soft and comfortable. Yeah. And by the way, for the women in the audience, Patagonia now makes a really kick-ass pair of bib overalls. They don't make them for men, but they make them for women out of a cotton and hemp fiber. And those things really will very likely survive a nuclear blast at ground zero. So that's pretty much the filibobster. Just a little note from here at home. David in South Carolina, Stan, just sent along a little something-something from Agnes's old hometown. U.S. Attorney Mike Stewart, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia and a diehard maggot. He is an enemy of the marijuanas, Mike Stewart is. Well, he announced the indictment of a father and son team in southern West Virginia. Larry McAllister, age 76, and Stephen Dale McAllister, aged 45, were indicted by Mike Stewart's federal grand jury Thursday on drug charges. That would just be pretty much of a dog bites man story, save for the fact that Larry McAllister is a retired deputy sheriff from Campbell County. I just had to check in with Agnes and see if she knew him. He was charged with maintaining a drug-involved premises and aiding and abetting the possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine. His son, Stephen, was charged with distribution of fentanyl, possession with intent to distribute 400 grams or more of fentanyl, possession with the intent to distribute 50 grams or more of methamphetamine, possession of a firearm in furtherance of drug trafficking, a felon in possession of a firearm. Sounds like what it boils down to is Sonny Boy lived with Daddy, and Daddy, according to Mike Stewart, knew that Sonny Boy was hustling street drugs. Stephen faces 10 years to life. Pappy faces 5 to 40 if they're convicted. Pretty good cover, though, isn't it? Retired sheriff's deputy and all. Another story ripped from the headlines of the mean streets of Huntington, West Virginia. All right, so we've got $170 to go on Chris's challenge. And I heartily encourage that we not leave that on the table. What's this from Billable Rick? Instructions to a hillbilly attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Bob, did anyone from CNN give you the following instructions before you attended the White House Correspondents' Dinner, assuming arguendo that you did so? One, shave. 2, take a shower. 3, apply bountiful amounts of deodorant. 4, brush your teeth. 5, wipe the Mountain Dew stain off the side of your face. 6, wear clean underwear. 7, Mama was in charge of the wear clean underwear advice. 7, make sure that you're wearing matching socks. Mama again. And 8, brush your hair. Well, 8's a lot, all my life, even when I had considerably more of it than I do now. Brush your hair has been a lost cause. It moves on its own like the tentacles of a sea anemone. I think not, says Billable Rick. What an ass that woman manager who told the acclaimed journalist to not look too Latina. It would be kind of nice if one of those Hispanic civil rights organizations would demand the name of the female manager and that she be promptly removed from her position. I mean, that's really, when you think about it, dress more like Ivanka.
has a hell of a lot in common with Mexicans with calves like cantaloupes. Does any of Steve King's family work at NBC, MSNBC? Scott in San Diego, subject line overalls. My dad, who was a firefighter full-time and a carpenter on his days off, always wore a brand of overalls called Sweet Orr, O-R-R. Never heard of those. They were roomy and had lots of little extra pockets for things like those expandable wooden measuring sticks that carpenters use. That's called a carpenter's rule, I do believe. Also, a little fabric ring to carry your hammer. That's called a hammer loop. You'd drop it in, handle first, so your hammer was always within easy reach. No, the pockets are the best part. Jim with a piece of trivia for us. Greenland, 1946, attempt by the United States to purchase. Yes. And Mussolini's mistress was Clara Petacci, not Carla. Not that it matters to either one of them, being how she wound up hanging by her heels from a lamppost at a gas station in Milan. A boy can dream. Clara Petacci. Sic semper fascista. All right, let's run over and check in on the gang gathered together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where Sparky sits at the head of the table moderating the conversation. Hey, Sparky.
Carhartts, Bob.
Well, Carhartts, too. Yep, Carhartts.
I've been wearing them for over 20 years. They're large hotel pants.
Did you ever do the bib overalls?
What do you think I got on right now?
Well, I don't have the video on, so I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you. Did Ferg tell you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen pictures. Yeah, they're tough as nails too. And they used to be made in the United States, just like Liberty's did.
Well, I don't care where they're made now. Everybody in construction wore Carhartts so that you get lapped off the job.
So how many pair would you go through in a year?
They last over a year.
I mean, I know as an inside wire man, you spent a lot of time crawling around. So the knees took a licking?
Well, I got the ones with the reinforced knees.
Oh, okay, yeah.
For much of my time, and they even made little foam pads you could slip into them from underneath. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
I have.
On the top, but they have an opening on the bottom.
Yeah, and they make those insulated coveralls as well for wintertime when you got to be scrambling around in the cold. Those things are warm as toast.
Yeah, I've worn those before, too.
And then, of course, back during the rise of Massey Energy, it was sort of adopted as the de facto uniform of mountaintop removal workers. Liberty made and still makes bib overalls with the high-visibility yellow or high-visibility orange in stripes around the legs. Those were referred to... colloquially as Massey Stripes. And coal workers would proudly wear them, to Saturday night down to the Walmart so everybody could see that they worked for Massey. Yeah, Carhartts, DC, DC was, for the painter's overalls, DC was a big brand. It would be interesting, though, to see if the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department can find any photography of Mariana Atencio. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. Are you there? Sparky.
They just be me, but I got nothing.
I'm right here.
you now. You cut out maybe a minute or two ago, but you came back.
Okay, I'm Rick. I hear you. I hear Steve. I hear Sparky.
Hey, Bob, I can hear you too.
We were having trouble with your audio.
Huh. Weird. Skype. But
thanks, Bill Gates.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is we haven't had the disconnect reconnect music since I retooled the audio chain. No, but what I was saying is it would be interesting if somebody in the ad hoc horn research department wanted to go out and find 2017 White House Correspondents Association dinner pictures and see if we can find what sort of get up Mariana Atencio wore after she had been admonished to try to look more like Ivanka. Because I get the idea it would probably take two or three Mariana Atencios to make one Ivanka Trump. I don't care what she looks like now. She's going to be... time is not going to be kind to her.
Why did they even care? Because Ivanka didn't go to that dinner.
No, but it tells you what the mindset of that manager was, that she said that, you know, the example she chose was try to look more like Ivanka. That's disgusting.
The manager... Trump has...
What's that, Rick?
The manager... Trump.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A mole.
Yeah.
A dirty little maggot mole, you know, inside that organization.
I mean, aren't there people who dress these, journalistic celebrities anyway? So it's like, why do they need to be told something else by, you know, some pissant manager, you know?
Right, who doesn't even appear on air?
You don't just
show up in front of the camera wearing any old thing.
No, you don't. There's armies of people that whose job it is to make you look good on camera. makeup artists, wardrobists, everybody. Whole teams of people, light people. Sound people. For every person on the air, there's probably five people who work a job to make them look good or make it sound good or, the video work, Kind of like your program, Bob, with all the people you have, they're working for you in the mansion there.
Right, the small army, yes.
Right. Emphasis on small as opposed to army. I'm looking for a picture.
I don't do Windows, Bob.
I can well imagine why, Dave. And by you're not talking about the physical Windows, you're talking about the operating system.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the physical Windows.
Well, then that's even better because you're in a situation, Dave, where you could sort of, fall out of the blind.
Well, that is, and I'm not real stable on crutches on a ladder.
You're on crutches? What did you do?
Well, I have cerebral palsy, Bob.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd had a recent accident.
Oh, no. But one time, Christine and I were on the circle, and there were some fundamentalists preaching, and a guy in a wheelchair, and I was in my wheelchair, rolled up to Christine and asked her, can you communicate with him? She turned to me and said, can I, honey? And I said, I don't know. That's what that story you just told reminded me of.
Oh, my God. Can you communicate with him?
I bet you I can figure out which way he voted last time.
Oh, that gets easy.
It is Talibania, after all.
It is indeed. Wow, talking about photography on the air, on radio, is a little difficult. But Ralph's just did a search, and I'm looking at some pictures from that soiree. And I haven't seen Mariana Atencio yet. But I have seen some pictures of some rather un-Ivanka couture. Oh, well.
I found her, I think, Bob. She's wearing kind of a orange salmon-ish colored dress. Looks very pretty. No, not and professional. No, like a, like you'd wear to a gala. No.
Yeah, a soiree.
Right, right. And she's been to another one too, apparently. So here she is in a yellow dress in another one. So, yeah.
Aren't there any pictures of her barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the manager.
Maybe
she
knows. Maybe.
Well, I try to save some of this foolishness for Wednesdays, but that whole story sort of dovetails with one that I saw yesterday evening, and this is a real Lulu. It has to do with a guy who's running for office out in Colorado. Corey, and I don't know quite what to do with his last name. S-E-U-L-E-A-N. I'm going to say Suleen. Because, well, hillbilly. Corey Suleen is running for a seat in the Colorado House, the state legislature. He wants to replace a representative by the name of Lori Sane, the goddess of irony is at work with the naming conventions here. He wants to replace Lori Sane, who's a Republican from Firestone, Colorado. And it has come to light that Corey Suleen, who is a preacher at something called Hopewell Baptist Church, he preaches to his congregation that women must not wear pants. All right, you pervs, quit it. Because I know that there are some guys out there going, cool. No. He says that women must wear, in accordance with biblical, with the Word of God, that Corey has preached from the Bible what he believes. This is his boy talking. His interpretation and what the Bible says about a woman dressing modestly, and he believes that in today's day and age, pants on a woman sometimes can show a woman's body immodestly. That's why he's taught it's proper, he believes, for a woman to wear a dress or modest culottes. Jesus. 2019. Anybody want to offer odds, given that they sent a Republican to the state house in that district, that this clown gets in?
He probably does, Bob. I think the 1950s are calling in. They want their wardrobe back for women, you know? I mean, that's like so.
Well, I'm going to have to check in with Agnes to find out what these modest culottes are. Are they like gaucho trousers? All blousy and shit?
I mean, if he wants to run for the post of fashion police, then I think maybe he's going to get elected for sure, you know?
Agnes just hollered, yoga pants. No. Those would make poor Pastor Suleen either pass out or be transported by paroxysms of satanic lust. Agnes says he'll get over it. Stoke the stroke. It has more than one meaning. He might not have used that exact terminology, but he believes, yes,
a woman should dress it modestly, and part of that goes into women not wearing pants. Jesus.
Doesn't Ivanka wear pants sometimes?
Well, only when she has been possessed by the Jezebel spirit.
Oh, yeah.
So let me get this straight. He wants her to wear just dresses?
Or modest culottes. And you got to understand by and then skirts. Skirts are also permissible according to this clown. And I see these types in town from time to time. The women are not allowed to cut their hair, so if it was to actually be let down, it goes to their ankles, but they wear it all piled up to Jesus on top of their heads, and there's enough Aquanet up there to varnish a closet door. and the denim skirts are all made by hand at home, and they go down right to the tops of the women's shoes.
Well, geez.
fetching. Let me just say, fetching.
So we're talking definitely like way below the knees if they're going to wear skirts, right?
All the way down to the shoe tops. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Well, what is this? Is this the Pilgrim times again? Are we back to, you know, puritanical America?
We haven't quite gotten to the silver shoe buckles, but given half a chance.
No kidding. Jeez.
Would a burqa be modest enough for him? Or is that like too modest, I guess?
That would be downright Old Testament biblical. That's plenty modest.
That is Sharia. That is too Sharia. That's not going to work. No way. I don't think so.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, it's hard to keep up.
But as long as she's a good Christian woman, that'll pass.
Christian burkas? That might be a thing. I could see that on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We sure as hell don't want to come to California where they're wearing tank tops and shorts.
Oh, no, they'd faint.
But hey, Sparky, do you know the difference between a skirt and a skort? I just heard this term this morning on Stephanie Miller, a skort. Does anyone know what a skort is?
Yeah, it looks like a skirt, but it's got a pair of shorts underneath it.
Oh, okay. Is it long?
No, I mean, they're popular.
Knee high, wouldn't you say?
No, they're popular around here. They come to a few inches above the knee, and like Columbia and North Face and Patagonia.
Oh.
All those outdoor gear companies sell them, and they're you see women wearing them out on the hiking trails and stuff like that.
They were real popular in the mid '90s. I believe even Karen had a pair of them.
But that would be Jezebel.
That's the Jezebel spirit. Yes.
Okay.
Knees, sinful female knees.
Sinful knees.
And so one enterprising reporter asked for a reference for the biblical authority on this and was directed to 1 Timothy 2:9. I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Now this, remember, is in the first century of the Common Era. Then there's
who the fuck was Timothy?
An imaginary person from the first century CE. Okay. Then there's Proverbs 7:10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtil of heart. God only knows what a Bronze Age harlot dressed like. Because, again, we're talking about an era when everybody, not just the women's, wore dresses. Then there's
Bob. I think that's Bob. I think the Bronze Age harlots. I think that's a rock band, an all-girl rock band, as far as I know.
Well, I was going to ask. Didn't they play at one of the festivals you went to, Rick?
I don't know.
Yeah, better known as four non-bronze.
If that's the case, then they're probably already gone.
Well, no, your average, your Bronze Age harlot was known for wearing bangles, so maybe it's a Bangles tribute band.
That could be, yeah, yeah.
And then there's Deuteronomous 22:5. A woe man must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests everyone who does this here. And you know, the Lord God back then being must, apparently mickle sharp of eye, because, again, everybody back then wore dresses. That's why I refer to their savior as Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life.
Did the harlots of that era, did they have lights with beeswax, red beeswax candles?
You know, because it's a semi-organic substance, we've not been able, archaeologists have not been able to uncover or excavate any red beeswax candles indicating the places of prostitution. And you might not want to do that anyway, because if the children of Israel caught you harloting, they were prone to take you outside the city gates and stone you to death.
Mm. Yeah, but remember, ankles are an executable offense.
They damn sure are, Dave. They could send the ancient Bronze Age children of Israel into those paroxysms of lust that we were talking about a minute ago. About anything on a female body can, apparently. Your average fundamentalist male can't hardly control himself.
Hey, Bob, I'm having a hell of a hard time distinguishing between pants and a modest culotte. I mean, you know, they look like they're, you know, indifferentiable, you know?
Well, that way lies madness.
Well said.
The good book is full of contradictions.
It's really not so good after all, Steve.
No, there's a verse in there somewhere, Bob, and you probably can cite where it's at, that says a woman's hair is glorious, but a man's hair is shameful, you know.
Isn't there something in there?
I was thinking, like, well, Jeeves had long hair. What the hell, man? You're contradicting
yourself.
Yeah,
well, but we don't know that. I saw
all the paintings say.
Well, yeah, but that's because they were just going along and writing Jeebus underneath underneath paintings of Apollo.
Hey, isn't there some citation to, like, the rock gut tequila and swirly straws in the Bible, as far as I know, Bob? Can you find that one for me?
Oh, there's be not drunk upon strong liquor.
Yeah, you'll have sex with your daddy like Noah.
Oh, God.
No. Come on. Okay. I mean, let's get this right. Let's be canonical, Steve. You'll have sex with your daddy like Lot's daughters.
Okay.
And Lot was a righteous man.
He was handing his daughters out like candy, wasn't he?
Well, he did pimp them out before that, so maybe that's why they decided to get him drunk and, you know. You're my daddy.
It sounds like Indiana's
Bronze
favorite
Age
game show.
And hey, you know, anything that begins with Bronze Age is a potential band name. Bronze Age Hillbillies. They could all show up on stage, you know, little bluegrass band with the big upright bass and the banjo and the mandolin and the guitar. And all wearing dresses.
That would be like a heavy metal band, Bob. Bronze,
and
right?
A fiddle.
No, but see, no, hillbillies. Yeah, there's got to be a fiddle. Hillbillies denotes a bluegrass band. You got to understand.
Well, but the bronze itself is a heavy metal.
And now, is that too, with or without sandals, Bob?
Oh, that's with, Dave, because it would otherwise be too dangerous to be around all those cords and stuff. You can get one caught betwixt your toes, and the next thing you know, you're over into the orchestra pit.
Let's see. Go ahead.
Okay, got it.
You can't eat shrimp. You can't mix garments, which means polyester's out the window. So it was tough times back then, man.
What can you do? What can you do?
Can't eat shellfish.
I mean, no, you can't.
What's with all these prohibitions, man?
You can't eat the meat of it. You can't eat the meat of a kid that's been boiled in its mother's milk. I mean, have you ever had that? That's delicious. No bacon.
No bacon.
Right.
There goes the Eastern time zone.
Full pork.
Yep, no barbecue in heaven. That makes sense though, because they've got all the fires down in hell. They're probably just sitting up in heaven eating nothing but potted meat.
Or ice cream. It's cool up there, Bob.
Well, that's true, but I bet they don't have the good berry syrup like Roger makes.
Nah, hell no.
Oh, speaking of which, I don't know where Roger is, but he needs to know that last weekend I finally got around to doing pancakes on the griddle, and I want you to know that Roger's berry syrup on a pancake pulled off that griddle, piping hot, slathered in butter, and covered in Roger's berry syrup. Ooh, me.
How many did you eat, Bob?
I had a respectable stack of three.
Oh, that's fine.
It weighed about 13 pounds.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
Had the specific gravity of uranium-238.
Oh, jeez.
13 pounds. Sounds like Maria Atencio.
They were as big as
wait a minute.
Oh, you got one, Joe.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
And by the way, the crack research department ad hoc, in this case in the form of Ralph's up in Milwaukee, found the picture. And yes, she's wearing a lovely sleeveless, coral colored, as you said, Rick, gown, and there's not a Carmen Miranda hat in sight.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I actually saw a light, like a canary yellow dress as well that she's wearing in front of a poster of the correspondence dinner, which was actually posted to her Twitter account in 2017. So that might actually be what she wore rather than the coral colored dress.
Well, the picture that Ralph sent was from a Jezebel story.
Oh, yeah, I saw that as well. I saw that story, yeah.
And it had her standing in front of a banner that said White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah, both the pictures I posted show that as well. So who knows? Anyway, she was either dress, you know, similar style and very appropriate for a dressy affair, let's say, you know, a gala affair.
Yeah, and it, you know, which should come as a surprise to precisely no one, but this busybody somewhere in the bureaucracy of NBC thinking that she needed to, you know, tell the, you know, the little Venezuelan girl, you know how they dress down there. If I'm not mistaken, I think for a while, one of the things that Venezuela was proud of is that they produced a whole bunch of Miss Universes.
Yes,
breathtakingly beautiful, tasteful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Down there could have double connotations, couldn't it?
Oh, Steve.
Into the gutter.
Oh boy, that's like a flailing cowbell. That's like a.
There goes the mountain time.
Hey, I just threw it out there. It's where your mind wanders, man. You gotta have to.
Oh, yeah,
sleeveless. Shrieks Lee in New York. How did the men contain their emotions? I know. And David in South Carolina stances Jezebel Spirit. I vote for Jezebel Spirit as the name for an all woman band. Absolutely. It's time that the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century had a fitting follow-up to the Bangles and the Go-Go's.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of music.
They could remake that song, Spirit in the Sky. Jezebel Spirit.
Yeah, Rush, baby.
Norman Greenbaum.
Jezebel Spirit of Radio.
There you go.
Oh, that was Norman Greenbaum. That was his only hit, yeah.
Yeah, Rush had Spirit of the Radio or something.
Yeah, that's right.
The song that went, A Salesman. That's Rush. Remember that one?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could you forget? Well, speaking of music, this is a big...
What do you got, Rick? What do you got? Who's going to die soon?
I am going to see the band Sweet tonight at the Rose.
Oh, my God. That ought to be a blast.
Barroom Blitz?
What's that?
Barroom Blitz? Ballroom Blitz.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Love is Like Oxygen.
That's my favorite. Love is Like Oxygen.
I love that song.
Nah, Smoking in the Boys Room was Brownsville Station, Steve.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Brownsville Station, but Sweet did it first, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Hmm.
Well, maybe they'll sing that tonight as well. It should be a good show.
Wow.
Guys, Love is Like Oxygen. You get too much, you get too high. Not enough, and you're going to die.
I love those lyrics. Love gets you high.
Don't be confused, because the lead singer was named Bon Scott, but it's not connected to the dead guy, so...
And also, wasn't one of their early hits Fox on the Run?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was the first hit.
Not the hillbilly version either, you know.
In the States. Yeah. Well, didn't they sing a Little Willie? Did they sing a Little Willie?
Yep.
I think so,
Little
Willie, Willie.
Man, that ought to be a great show, Rick. Damn, I'm envious. I wish I could go with.
It looks like they still have maybe three of the original band members. They reconstituted in 2008, and they've been touring ever since, more or less. So,
okay, so keep your powers in check, Rick.
I'd like to see them. They come to the east side. Don't kill them off, bro.
Well, actually, Star is going to be with me, so she's going to help to like keep the powers, you know, at a normal, level.
Banked.
Okay.
As of now, there are three remaining members. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Megan just checked in. Subject line, silver shoe buckles. If I'm wearing silver shoe buckles and long dresses with long hair to work, I'm flying in there on a broom wearing a pointy hat to complete the look. Makeup will be green foundation with a wart. She has got a wart. Turn me into a newt. Newt. Got better. Cowbell for Megan.
There you go.
Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego pointing out Lot was the Jeffrey Epstein of his day.
Oh, God.
And Lot was a righteous man.
Did you hear about Jeffrey Epstein there, Bob?
Which part?
Well, he's still alive. He's actually living in the villa in France. He's just serving out the Acosta plea deal.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought he'd gone up to Michigan to live with Elvis.
Hey, wait a minute. Elvis died today.
This is Elvis on the potty day, isn't it?
That's true. August 16th.
He's living next to Elvis and Janice and Mama Cass, man. They're all in the same neighborhood.
And Aretha Franklin died today on this day, too.
Speaking of Elvis, though, I got a photograph of the menu board at an ice cream place out in L.A. from Tracy, and there were a jillion. You know, it's all made there, I guess, and it just looked delicious. But I scanned the board, and I saw the magic word: they have Elvis ice cream. Now you know what Elvis ice cream would have to be, right?
Peanut butter and bananas.
Peanut butter and banana.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That would be a kick-ass scoop.
Ooh.
As long as it didn't plug you up, you know.
Oh, I tell you, Steve, you're doing your best to ruin the dinner for everybody, aren't you?
Hey, I'm not going to see Sweet, man. What do I got to lose? You know?
Okay, we got a DJ check-in from Lady B. Sweet. One word. Squee! And Lady B says, Sweet never did smoking in the boys' room. That was strictly Brownsville Station.
Mm.
And she says, Love is Like Oxygen, my favorite.
I corrected it. My head's like a rolling jukebox, and sometimes I get it wrong. Sorry, Lady B. Thanks for correcting me.
Oh, no apology necessary. Are you kidding? I screw these things up all the time.
Hey, speaking of music, this is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock starting yesterday.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I've been listening to on my Sirius XM, they have what's called classic, what is it, deep tracks. And the whole week has been devoted to just playing tracks of the performances at Woodstock. It's been great.
Rick, there's so much good music that hit the cutting room floor. There's a Creedence did like a hour-long set that I, why it isn't in the movie escapes me to today. It's
well, there was some, you know, I guess somebody, some manager for this one band, which is obscure now, I think it's called like Elf something, insisted that before they could be filmed, they had to be paid. And of course, as a result, they didn't get filmed and they basically, you know, left, you know, they screwed themselves by, you know, by trying to be greedy because all the other performers got filmed. I guess there were 426 separate songs sung during that, 40th festival or so. Yep.
I mean,
I was there, by the way.
You were at Woodstock?
Absolutely.
How old were you, 5?
I was 7. No, I
guess. Well, nobody.
Sure you were.
I wasn't. I was just a little shit at that time.
Mountain and Leslie West put on a hell of a show, and you never.
Yeah. You know who I really like?
I watched Walter Cronkite.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. He talks about it. I really liked Melanie's performance. She was really good. And then Sweetwater from L.A. was an interesting band as well.
So was Canned Heat. They did a lot of songs that didn't make the movie. You know.
Yeah. Me, you know, I just love the Santana rendition of Oye Como Va.
Yeah. Oh, Sacrifice is just phenomenal too. That made the movie.
Yeah.
How old was Santana? And
they were kids. 22.
22. Okay.
And he's on the cover of it, so God, we're
he just turned 72 this year, I think. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Oh, that's amazing.
He still sounds great.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You know, he always selects really good vocalists, and he does the music. You know, he doesn't do a lot of the same. And, you know, he's just a consummate guitar player. It's amazing.
It's like when I seen Tom Jones, he blew my head off, man. And he was so stiff, he could hardly move. But damn if he could sing. He still has it, man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, 80 years old, still belted out. Man.
Well, hell, Tony Bennett's still performing. He's in his 90s now.
I'd go.
Yeah.
The only one I wouldn't go is Gordon Lightfoot. Thanks to Rick, he saved me from stunting out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, a little trivia. Dave writes in. Norman Greenbaum, a.k.a. Dr. West's Medicine Show and Junk Band, Eggplant That Ate Chicago.
Huh. That'd be an interesting song.
Country Joe and the Fish.
Yeah, Country Joe and the Fish, and then what, Country Joe McDonald or something like that? Was
there? Richie Havens. There's so much good music there. They were supposed to do a 50th year reunion, but it fizzled out. So.
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed. I remember during the Clinton era, there was a very spirited 25th year reunion show, and I remember it was famous for people dancing in the mosh pit, you know, in the mud and stuff.
Yeah, the Red Hot Chili Peppers were there, weren't they?
And Joe Cocker.
Well, it would have been nice if they could made the 50th anniversary show happen, because then maybe some of the people who didn't remember the first one could have seen the second one and remembered it.
Well, chances are they still would have had the brown acid, I bet, Bob, you know?
Yeah. If you can get your hands on the director's cut, it's well worth it.
Yeah, well, it was showing nationwide on Thursday night, this past Thursday, just yesterday.
Nice.
Selected theaters. So,
my only beef is it came in one of those trifold Blu-ray containers, and I had to return it twice, and by the third time, it was still, there was Blu-rays just bouncing everywhere. Finally, they said, just keep it, you know, we'll refund your money, so...
So the Blu-rays, were coming out of the thing?
Yeah, it's one of those trifolds. I don't know if you've ever seen them or not, you know, where they're kind of like stacked and they're supposed to, ideally, they're just supposed to fold over like a book, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this, the plastics was on the inside, the molding was so thin, they couldn't ship it, you know.
That's weird. There was actually a scaled back celebration of Woodstock, but you know, like maybe three bands a night for like Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. I think Arlo Guthrie did it Thursday. And I think tonight it's going to be, I know John Fogerty's going to play on Sunday, I think, or Saturday. But I think it's like Santana and the Doobies are playing one night.
And where is this at, Rick?
This is up at the Bethel Woods area, but they have an amphitheater they built up there, apparently.
It's probably very limited, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the amphitheater. You know, I've seen most of those acts, actually. I've seen Arlo Guthrie, I've seen the Doobies, I've John Fogerty.
Yeah, but you didn't see CCR. It's not
yeah,
the whole
that's true. Package, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those guys played some great songs.
Oh, they were tight. Yeah. Everybody.
And Joan Baez. How about Joan Baez? You can't forget either. You know? Sure. What a beautiful voice. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, hey, and I saw the news come across as an alert right about the beginning of the program. A cultural icon has passed. Peter Fonda.
Oh.
Oh, that makes me sad.
79 years old.
The whole Easy Rider crew is just back on, and Dennis Hopper, he passed.
Yeah, a long time back.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Fonda made it that long. Tell you the truth, he lived a very, very wild life for a long time.
Uh-oh.
Lifestyle.
So is Warren Beatty the only one left?
You mean Jack Nicholson?
Nicholson?
Yeah, Warren Beatty wasn't in Easy Rider, unless he's, you know, did a cameo that I'm not aware of.
Don't you remember the Venusians?
Yeah. Huh? They're beaming back at you. That's a great movie. Gosh.
They asked Peter Fonda one time if they were actually smoking pot around the campfire. And eventually he copped to it. He said, yeah.
Yeah. Why not? It's practically legal now.
Oh, by the way, note coming in from our buddy Robert in Australia. On the subject of covering women's bodies, may I suggest viewing Ripping Yarns, Season 1, Episode 6, The Curse of the Claw. It's free on YouTube. Ripping Yarns, Season 1, Episode 6, The Curse of the Claw. Sometime in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Father, you're not to look at the Atlas, my boy. It is an evil book filled with lewd and lascivious ladies who know no better than to sport themselves to the carnal delights of mother. That's not the Atlas, dear. Later, on board a ship to Burma, that's not the Atlas here, on board a ship to Burma, narrator, that night we discovered that Russell had been wrong. He was a woman after all. It was a mistake anyone could have made in the sort of society in which we'd been brought up. Later, we discovered that most of the rest of the crew were women as well. Okay, I got it. All right, that looks good. I got to check it out. I've got a link. You'll have to look for it.
Can you do a cowbell for a program, Bob? That deserves one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, Rick.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's too bad.
So,
that was a hell of a movie, Easy Rider. That was great. What else was he in?
So about Woodstock, guys, real quick. So on a personal note, 2 years before I was born, my parents did a trip all along the Northeast, and they actually were going to stop at Woodstock, and they talked about it, and they were like, well, we could see so much more if we just continue on our little journey here. So they drove right past and they didn't go. They kicked themselves in the ass for that for a long time.
So they had a chance to be there at the show then.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Right past it. Right past the farm.
I'm surprised they could have made it because there was like nine-mile traffic jam or something like that leading up to it.
Yeah, they were really close.
Hmm. Wow. Well, there you go. You never know what's going to happen. That's why you got to grab it if you get an opportunity. You know?
You never know when history's going to strike.
Exactly. You got it.
I went to a concert once, a 3-day outdoor excursion once, road trip thing to Olympia, Washington, Dinosaur Valley. Hmm. It was weird. They had the county cops posted right at the road. You drove into it to check you out. And if you made it through there, you got up the hill a little ways, and then there was all these people along the side of the road selling drugs.
It's like a dead show or a fish show, huh?
Yeah, and then they had a stage out in the forest, and then down the hill they had this creek river thing everybody went skinny dipping in. It was quite a deal. It was 3 days. Hmm. They had all these vendors there selling food, vendors and stuff like that. Everybody was there to make a buck too.
So who played at that one, Sparky?
Shit. You think I can remember that far back?
Yeah.
Maybe I was probably on acid or something else then.
You don't know. You just bought whatever they sold, right?
Shit, yeah. Dancing all night with ladies and getting crazy and then passing out somewhere in the, out in the woods. That was what it was all about. Mm.
They were selling, you were buying, Sparky, huh?
Well, you're getting it from somebody there. There's people walking around sharing joints everywhere.
Must have been fun. That sounds like a lot of fun.
But that was my kind of Woodstock experience.
Actually, in the woods. I'm like Woodstock.
Hey, yeah, Steve.
In the forest.
Right.
Hey, Steve, thanks for picking things back up. I really appreciate it. You and Miss Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy.
No problem, brother. Thanks for hosting, putting on the porch. It's a lot of fun.
And overall, minus the little hiccup at the very beginning, I'd say audio is dramatically better this time through. This is our first front porch with the new rig.
I thought you sounded
early and even heard your sound check, Bob.
I thought, well, this show's canned. Then you said the date, and I said, no, he's using new equipment or something.
Yeah, this is the road rig in place. Play on words because it's the little interface is built by Rode, R-O-D-E, made by hand in Australia. And one of these days I'm hoping to get my hands on one of the matched microphones for it and see if that changes things, even for the better. Because they've got a few settings on it that are EQ'd specifically for particular models of microphone that they build. But as it is, you've taken it down to only $160 to go, Steve, to finish out Chris's challenge. And if we could raise that $160, it would be a huge help coming to the middle of the month, and then we'll work on making up for the spurious pledge that was made a week ago tonight. Because that turned out to be not true. This community runs on goodwill, and you know, a lie like that, I don't know who the person thought they were hurting, but it was we extend gratitude for things like that, and I guess the twisted little fuck got a big giggle out of it or something. Who knows?
And I'm not asking to name names, but hypothetically, who would be asshole enough to do something like that?
Well, a little right-wing turd.
And you don't think there's any chance it's just got caught in the mail and it's going to show up?
Nope. We have
dick.
Yeah, this is one of those. This is one of those Spicoli moments, you know.
Speaking
of goodwill,
but it's
fashions for Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid are furnished by Goodwill Industries.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
But it's it was just a shitty little thing to do. But we have our ways of knowing these things, and it's pretty easy to tell. There's not a, no. So that was $500 that's never going to show up. So while we're talking about wiping out $400 this evening, it's actually, there's actually a $500 carryover from last Friday. Which is, you know, we'll deal with it. It's not a big deal. So as it is, if we can just, if we can just catch up with, or finish the week, the 160, I'm not going to, you know, look, we go from month to month. Listening to Sparky's story, Lady B says, all I can think to say to Sparky is, if you felt a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a, spring clean for the May Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Led Zepp was there, right, Sparky? Does that refresh your recollection?
And Jenny says, hello, Horn family. Just wanted to say hi. I've been enjoying actually being able to listen to Friday on the Front Porch. Hey, everybody. Hey, Jenny.
Hey there.
Hey, Jenny.
The record should show, Bob, that the brown acid was perfectly fine. There was not a thing wrong with it. It was you. It was you people who can't handle your fucking drugs.
Ah, yes. Don't eat the brown acid. Unfortunately, no, I think there was something wrong with it. And I think they made an overabundance of it, Scott. And I'm pretty sure that that you know people like Steve King and Donald Trump, you know, just slide a hit under their tongue about every morning, and it explains a great deal of Republican policies. Now, how do you explain this though? Because I got this in. When's the last time you heard the name Pat Buchanan?
Oh, I mean, they're bringing it back, Bob.
I thought he'd finally gone off to hell to hang out with Richard Nixon, but no, he's apparently still alive. And somebody at PBS thought it would be really cool to reboot the McLaughlin Group.
Oh no. With who?
McLaughlin's dead. Been dead for a couple of years.
Yes, his corpse would be pretty stinky about now.
You'd have to dig him up to really, truly reboot it.
Well,
Eleanor Clift is like older than
he'd still be more interesting than Pat.
Older than the Cliffs of Dover.
So they're bringing it back. Wait! It gets worse. He's going to co-host it.
With who?
I don't know. Somebody to be named later.
The Secretary of the Treasury, right? Or no, not the Treasury, but who the fuck is, he's one of Trump's guys. The Commerce Secretary? What's his name? Kudlow.
No, that's his economic advisor.
Wilbur Ross.
Yeah, Wilbur Ross is at Commerce.
Wilbur.
Put him on there.
But just for a younger generation, here's a couple of Pat Buchanan's greatest or worstest hits. America has been the best country on earth for black folks. It was here that 600,000 black people brought from Africa in slave ships grew into a community of 40 million. Were introduced to Christian salvation and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity blacks have ever known.
Ugh. Hey, does anybody realize that three of the early popes were African?
I couldn't make that out.
Who lost you, Dave.
I said three of the early popes within the first two or three centuries were from Africa.
Oh, yeah, they came from what was known as the Roman Africa province.
Right, and the first one was St. Victor of Rome. He was a Berber. And up into the 3rd century, that's when the last African pope was there. So Pat doesn't even know his own church's history. That's nothing new.
And, well, yeah, Pat's a hardcore. Pat's still pissed off about Vatican II. By God, he wants his mass in Latin. Of same-sex marriage. Of same-sex marriage, Pat declared, it's being imposed dictatorially. Vaughn Walker, a gay federal judge in San Francisco, has ruled that same-sex marriage is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Can anyone believe this absurd notion of equality was intended by or written into the Constitution by the Congress that produced the 14th Amendment? Whatever liberal, hyper-liberal reading you want of the First Amendment, how does America, who at PBS thought America needs to hear from Pat fucking Buchanan again?
Well, PBS, there's something afoot at PBS, Bob.
Well, yeah, it goes back to Dim Leader when he put the moles in, again with the moles, when he put the moles in at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Well, whoever decided to do a reconstituted McLaughlin report, there's an idea whose time is long gone. About a year or so ago, they brought back William F. Buckley's program, Firing Line. But since Buckley has gone to the great conservative wing in the sky, it's hosted by Margaret Hoover, I think her name is, who's like the great-great-great-granddaughter of Herbert Hoover. And it's all tied into the Hoover Institute or Hoover whatever at, what's that college up in Northern California, Stanford. So it's like, I mean, I know that PBS, the righties always say, well, it's just liberal swill, you know, slanted, blah, blah, blah. But don't these people have enough outlets for their crap? You can't turn on a radio or a television in America without being hit in the face with it. So, I mean, like, what's next, Pat Buchanan? Jesus.
I can't wait to see who they're going to throw out there with him. It's going to be a laugh riot.
I suspect it'll probably be old David Duke any day now.
Yeah, most likely. Hey, John Brittavo, long time no talk to, brother.
How y'all doing? I hope the Horn family's doing fine.
Hello, Uncle John.
Hey, John. Hey, the limo is on the way to pick you up for the Sweet concert tonight.
Yeah, don't lie to me. Okay. You're so mean, Rick. You are so mean. I didn't do nothing to you. Here I am, just come in to say nice, and there you go. Want to pop my bubble. Rick, well, shit, I seen y'all. Y'all take care. Bye. Bob, how the hell y'all been?
We're getting along. I remember we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago about the joys of being a single vehicle family.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Well, 2 weeks ago today,
you go everywhere.
2 weeks ago today, we became a zero vehicle family.
Oh no, that's not good, Bob.
No, it's not. My son did what the state of West Virginia should have done several years ago, in terms of cleaning out a ditch. Only he did it with the front end of my vehicle.
Oh no!
At several miles per hour.
Not good, huh?
That was the end of that.
It's not coming back.
No.
Boy, had a shit.
It was a total loss.
Well, what you got your eye on, Bob?
Well, we've solved the problem.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be brutally painful, but I actually made a deal on a 3.5-year-old Ford Fusion.
Oh, there you go.
It's not the same thing as having a big third row seating SUV.
Right.
But it's
probably good on gas mileage, though.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. No.
A nice looking vehicle. You'll have no problem picking up chicks, buddy, I'm sure.
Lucky for you, Agnes is not listening.
As long as it's Agnes.
Well, Agnes might want to borrow it too, Bob.
I don't think she's into picking up chicks, John.
Oh, well. Well, no, I wasn't thinking chicks, Bob.
Oh, well, okay. I'm just trying to be clear here. But, yeah, I got that. It's gonna be brutal, and it's going to be hateful for the next 4 years. But,
yeah.
Oh, God. Well, at least he wasn't hurt. So, you know.
Yes, that's the good news right there. You know, that allows you to be pissed off at him. What the hell did you do?
Got himself a nice reckless driving charge and a nice failure to maintain control charge. And
Lord.
Yeah.
The price you pay, Bob. Yeah, well, he's learned a lesson, you know. And you get a new vehicle. Well.
New-ish. It's got 30,000.
New-ish. New to you.
Yeah, it's got 30,000 miles on it.
I don't buy mine new. The one I just paid off, Bob, that 2010 I just paid off, I bought it in 2012, so, and I just paid it off, and sure enough, shit, it broke down about a week ago. Luckily for me, it was just the battery went dead and had a dead cell in it, so I just...
Well, you know, something has to happen immediately after payoff.
Oh, yeah, I think there's a timer in there on the odometer.
You're damn right. Shit.
There's a little switch that kicks over and says, "Ah, oh, he paid for it, screw him, let's get his
this thing has, you know, my car was a 2011. And this thing has features on it that I guess have come on every vehicle now, but it's got that keyless entry business. And I took to wondering, because there's no keyhole. So, you know, these things are, the little fobs are battery powered.
Right. And like, so what happens if the battery goes down?
What happens if the battery dies and you don't have a spare? Yes. And I learned the answer to it.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of neat. It's downright clever.
What do you do? What do you do, Bob?
Well... The door, you know, the way it works, you know, if you want to, if you've got the fob in your pocket and you touch the door, the car just unlocks. But, if you feel around underneath the door handle, there's a little tiny slot. And if you take the back off the fob, there's a handleless key.
Oh, no shit.
And you slide it up into that slot. It doesn't go very far. And you push it to the right, and the housing pops off. And then, lo and behold, there's a keyhole. And you slide it in, you turn it, and it unlocks.
Well, boy, how to shit.
Well, I'll be damned. Technology ain't it?
I mean to tell you, learning stuff new every day.
Sounds like some James Bond would have.
Yeah really. Yeah, secret shit.
And it's, hey, it's all-wheel drive, so that means it'll be, nice. You know, when the shitty stuff comes, which is,
right.
I mean, we're sitting here burning up in mid-August, but even burning up in mid-August, I know it's coming. I feel it in my bones, it's coming.
Oh, shit.
The woolly worm, you know, we judge weather up here by woolly worms, John.
Is that right?
Yeah, the woolly worm is black on both ends and brown in the middle. That means we're going to get the shit kicked out of us early in winter.
Oh, Lord.
Get a break in the middle, and then get the shit kicked out of us again at the end.
Well, not that there's anything to this global warming shit, but it's been hot as hell down here, and I'm kind of looking forward to our winter. Of course, you know our winter down here. It's
72 degrees.
Yeah, well, that's good, baby. That's a perfect time for me. We get down to the 50s, you know, occasionally.
Yeah, I know. You decorate fucking palm trees instead of ever. Yeah.
There's a price to pay for it, baby. We're dying down here right now, though, I'm telling you.
Quick question, if you got a second.
Sure, Steve.
Duncan was telling me you got thrown in YouTube jail. What the hell is that all about?
Yes, I did. For three months. Man. Yeah, I can't go live on YouTube. It's killing us.
Well, that hurts, don't it?
Yes, it does, tremendously, by the way.
What'd you do to piss them off?
Well, I screwed up. Me and a lot of other people, I guess, that do this same thing. So I'm in some good company, believe it or not. But what I did was, you know, we had aired the first debate that was on CBS or whatever it was on our show live, and, you know, had commentary, and we talked about it and everything during the breaks there and everything. So we got the bright idea, well, that was a great show. Let's do that again. And we pulled up my my Sling TV, and we got the signal off of CNN. And put it up on our screen and watch the debate. And about halfway or a little bit more through the debate, all of a sudden my feed went dead, and it was Turner Broadcasting that pulled the plug on us. CNN had complained about copyright infringement, which I didn't think about. It's a damn public debate, you know, but God forbid CNN ain't going to get their revenue or whatever the freak
John
it is.
John, ain't nothing public about it. I hammered and hammered and hammered on these things. These party debates are advertising platforms.
Yes, that's what they are.
No, they are. There's money-making forms.
Yes, going forward, feel free, if you'd like, John, to use my term for these things.
What's that, Bob? Give me something.
Pageants.
Pageant. Oh, I get it. You know, like a beauty pageant shit where they all come out and just try to look pretty? Yeah.
Right, and they got... And they got the cameras on the wires swinging all around the room, and they come back to the moderators, and like one of them will be wearing a beaded ball gown, and she'll say, "And coming back, and when we come back after this break, the candidates will talk about whether illegal aliens should die at the border without medical care here on CNN."
In swimsuits, we'll be right back.
Now, do you guys think it was an algorithm? You know, certainly there's not some nerd out there that scans around.
Those nerds exist, Steve.
Yes, they do, really? Baby. Yep, they whacked me good. It does. It hurts us. You know, we go live. We just went live last night. And so we broadcast on Facebook and on Periscope. And then as soon as the show is over, we upload it straight to YouTube. And in the show, I always tell the people, you know, we miss our YouTube family. But, it's cutting into the budget a little bit because,
I bet.
Yeah.
Get the bottom line.
Well, you know, we weren't getting that much from the it was like the Super Chat donations, you know, that we received, but we can't receive those for the next 3 months. So for the next 3 months, we will have zero income on that respect. And I want to remind y'all, that's how come, and I know Bob has to come on the air and ask for donations to keep his show on the air. And I want to stress just exactly how important that is. It's a little amount that you ask for. You can go by his Patreon page and join up, I'm sure, or donate through PayPal or whatever. But those dollars, they, you know, if it doesn't hurt you, baby, it goes a long way in keeping the progressive voice on the air. And I know Bob has a goal every week that he has to meet. And it's a matter of paying the bills to keep that voice on the air. So I urge everybody in the Horn family to, if you're able to, and it doesn't hurt your pocketbook, maybe chip in a few bucks.
Yeah, that's the central key. Do not hurt yourself. Yeah. Do not do anything that would deprive yourself of the things you need to live and to prosper and to succeed.
That's what I did. That's what I did, Bob. So until October 28th, I'm screwed. I still do my show like I always did. We still go on live with our Blue Dot family and discuss the shit show of the day. But I'm not able to connect that live audience with YouTube. So October 28th.
Hey, John.
Yes, ma'am.
John, what do you know about, what have you heard about Twitch? Twitch.
Yes, my son brought it up to me. I think it's made mostly for gamers, but you know, we use Discord on my show, which was originally for gamers. We found it a little easier to use than Skype, and fewer problems and stuff. So we switched over to Discord on there. But I'm gonna try to explore other avenues. Progress the show basically anyway. We have a big following on YouTube. We're, I think 10,500 or something.
Yeah, that hurt because you'd cross the 10,000 barrier, and the 10,000 barrier is key to getting paid.
Right. Yeah. And we went over 1 million views recently. We're at 1,030 something thousand views now. And we had just gotten to that point where you could expect a check every month, and it helped tremendously, because like Bob, you got to pay the bills. If you don't pay the bills, well, first, you know, it's the internet service and shit like that. Plus, we're trying to expand a little bit. We want to go online with a website for Blue Dot, so we'll have a central place for other people that we're encouraging to try to use their voice in one way or another. I tell them, you don't got to turn on the camera because not everybody's as pretty as me and you, Bob.
speak for yourself, John. I ain't turned the camera on neither.
Yeah, buddy, I'll tell you what, you can't make a silk purse out of sows.
Well, but goddammit, it's damn hot here. The only way I can survive back here is by doing naked radio, and the world is not ready for that, John.
I'm telling you, you'd be a hit, Bob. You'd have millions of followers. Do it, Bob.
I would ruin the white balance on video cards the world over.
It's just a simple thing. Just ask your viewers. Kick up a donation of at least $50 in the next hour or so, or Bob's going to seriously consider popping on the camera naked. So
no. Oh, wait. No. Hey, wait. You just gave me an idea. Innovation. And by the way, thanks to Rusty. Rusty just jumped in and took us down to only 110 to finish the evening. Chris's challenge has 110 bucks left on it. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, buddy, that's great. I didn't know you had a challenge going in. I just popped in here.
Yeah.
Y'all need to pick that up and get that challenge out of the way, buddy. That's somebody that donates and is asking you to do the same thing. And it's rough. I know, baby, it's rough for Bob to come out there and ask for that shit. But, baby, it is so important. It is essential to keep that voice going.
Well, yeah. You triggered something in my tiny little mind. You know,
what are you going to do, Bob?
Well, maybe. You know, in a classic burlesque strip joint sort of situation, you put the dollars in her garter, and she takes off another article of clothing.
Y'all get them dollar bills out.
What we could do with me, because I'm me, is I could start out naked. I mean, we don't have to see the essential bits and pieces.
To put them clothes back on.
Right. I'll put on an article of clothing with every $20 contribution.
Party. There you go. I did a challenge on my show. I got challenged to do, now, you know what this is, a Naruto run. Do you know what that is?
No, what?
A Naruto run. I think I'm pronouncing it right. You know, my son Travis is on the show with me, and he has his own little following now, I guess, and some of them are into anime. And some of them, a lot older people, are into anime, Japanese anime. And a Naruto run is when the character, I don't know, he kind of bends over and runs real fast with his arms spread behind him. Like
I've seen those. I didn't know that was what they were. Yes. And they've been proliferating around the internet for a little bit.
Well, I'm fixing to hit the internet, baby, with one. It should be ready in the next day or two. My son's been working on it for 3 weeks, I guess, but he had me in front of a green screen. Dad, run this way. Oh, okay, wait, run this way. All right.
He doesn't have you in a Sailor Moon dress, does he?
No, I'm in my cowboy hat.
By God, I bet the Sailor Moon dress would bring in the contributions.
I have not seen the results of it. All I know is in one scene that I stop and I turn to the camera, and I point to it, and I tell the people, don't forget to make your Naruto run to the poles. And then I dash off, I guess. But he has me going all
over. You're a genius, John.
I want to see this thing. But we were challenged. And for a $100 challenge, they wanted to see John do a Naruto run. So that's all they have to do to my son is tell him that. And shit, here comes the green screen and the film and the cameras and all that shit. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Travis is talented right. And clever.
He is. That's his business. He does special effects and audio and video work and stuff. So, I'm looking forward to I'm going to get to see it at the same time everybody else does. So we're going to see it live on the show when he pulls it out. But we're going to put it up on the internet so everybody can see it and make fun of me. Ain't no telling what they'll say. But that's what we've been doing.
Man, that I want to know when it. I want to know when it hits. This I must see this.
Anyone there?
Yeah, I lost Bob.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
No, I said I got to. I got to see that.
Hear for quite a while. I couldn't hear anything.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am. He's put a lot of work into it because he was having trouble with my beard because I guess the lower part of my beard is kind of wispy, I guess, and. It shows through the green screen. So in the running, he had to go in there and individually take out all those little spots that you could see the background in through
the very thought of video editing gives me the fantods, John.
Sounds like a silver lining.
It is a lot of tedious work. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But that, it, there's more coming because after that, you know, there's going to be, I want to see him do this. So we'll do it. We'll make a cottage industry of me making an ass out of myself, Bob. It's not a problem.
After 15 years, I can tell you it gets to where it comes down right easy, John.
No problem, right? Yes, sir. Well, we've got a fun family. The Blue Dot family is very, you know, here's my latest gift, Bob. Listen.
I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
That God ever created? Are you shitting me?
What is that? What is that?
That is a Donnie the Dump ink pen. It's got his head on the end of the ink pen. It's pretty good size. And if you push his head, you get...
Look, I'm really rich.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. You owe everything to the Pootie. That's what he's not rich yet. He's in debt.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, it's got...
Have that comment? Does it have that quote when he said...
Which one?
He's the most modest person in history or something like that.
Let me see. The next one is...
Do you remember that one?
The greatest president that God ever created.
No. Wait. No, wait. Get past. Yeah, we already heard Rich.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico.
I missed that, John.
Oh, you missed it? Let me see.
I don't wear a toupee.
Oh, he's a lion.
It's my hair.
It's his hair, all grown on one side and plates it over to the other side.
It is a single hair, 48 feet long.
Curled around and trained, baby. But it's the pen, I looked at it the other day, and I told him, Travis, I said, you know, that's just about the right size that if I was doing a scene and somebody had that off camera where just the head came up and yelled some shit and then ran off, you know, yeah, we'll have fun with it, you know. Entertainment, baby. Where else are you going to get entertainment like that?
Oh, heavens. Nowhere.
Here on the horse show. Where else are you going to get the entertainment y'all get here? Has he brought up Shiny Heine lately?
God.
I think Shiny Heine came up 3 or 4 days ago, oddly enough.
There you go, baby. Where else are y'all going to get such fine entertainment? And
I'm just so surprised a member of the Blue Dot family has not sent you a Shiny Heine yet.
No, they better not. They love me, Bob. They love me. Have you got one?
Especially, you know, with the rubbing compound that comes with it.
Yeah. Oh, it comes with rubbing compound. I was unaware of that, Bob.
Oh, yeah. It's polishing.
Oh, you want a shiny-ass honey.
Well, how you think it's going to get shiny if you don't have a little rubbing compound?
Hold still, Bob. Bend over. I need to comb my hair here. There you go. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ.
No,
maybe if you put some rocks, and maybe if you put some rocks up there, you know, you could tumble them around and
it's
real shiny too.
There you go.
So, you speak for every progressive in Texas, John. That's your job.
That's me. That's my job.
I take it. I'm not gonna assume anything. What are your thoughts on one? You've got to just be busting with pride for Beto and how he responded to the horror in El Paso. It was pure class.
He responded just as the way a president should have. You know, that stinking piece of crap. I'm sure y'all talked about the photo with the little baby, and shit like that. He's a stinking piece of crap. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He'll make a mockery out of anything. I'm tired of it. But Beto is, you know, he just got back out on the road. He's been off the road for a while because of El Paso. And I'm telling you, yes, I was proud of him. But
multimillionaires of the for-profit media had to run right out and say, are you going to run for Senate now? They're asking Hickenlooper, are you going to run against? And I guess there's a chance Hickenlooper is going to run against Cory Gardner.
He's talking about it. And you know, the Houston Chronicle wrote an op-ed about Beto doing the same thing, that Texas needs him and he should bow out of the race for president and come back to Texas and take cornhole on.
Beto said absolutely not. And I think I understand why. Because that would be a real slap in the face to MJ Hager.
Yes, it would. Yes, MJ Hager's been out there doing her best, and she is
and
a
she's
proud
not a
Texan
bad candidate. No, she's
no, she's got a shot. You know, I'm feeling a change, Bob, a little twitch. I don't want to get overconfident and none of that shit. None of us do because we know all this shit go to hell. But you're starting to see a little bit of movement towards rejecting his ass, calling him out for some shit. Because how much more of this crap are we going to go through? You know,
and then you
get. Yes, you get little stories like today, you know, after the shooting and all after the mess of that, that, oh, look, he's going to buy Greenland. What kind of shitty ass fucking story is that to throw out there? You know, just to distract everybody from the actual crap that he promotes in this country. You know, we all know where that, you know, El Paso incident came from. That came right out of Donnie. It lays right at his feet, baby. I make no bones about that.
Well, I'll add one thing into the mix here. And that is, I mean, I don't see Beto suddenly leaping up the polls. I give him all the credit in the world for the class and the decency that he showed, and also for clapping back against that posh accented woman who asked him that stupid question and he just buried her.
That
made me proud as an American.
Well, you know, I'm like everybody else. You know, I love the guy. I backed him all the way for Senate, and I'm still backing him to a degree. But is it in my heart that he's going to bounce right up there? I don't think so. You know, the field is getting smaller.
So, you know, you've got a quality candidate in MJ Hager.
Yes.
Against John Cornholio. And by the way, let me suggest that anybody responding, and this is kind of interesting too. Ever since Moscow Mitch got hung on him, Mitch isn't tweeting so much anymore.
No, he's been staying a little under the radar. Moscow Mitch and Massacre and, Mitch, what do you want to call him?
Right, and in the absence of Mitch, his number two, and I do mean number two in the Senate, of course, is John Cornholio.
Yes, he is from Texas. Right
and
here.
So he's been doing the attack dog stuff lately. And he gets buried in the Twitter ratio every time he opens his fucking mouth. And it's a beautiful thing.
Good.
But may I suggest, and this is just something I've been doing, in your Twitter interface, you've got that little thing you can click for the GIFs. And if you just type in Cornholio.
Cornholio.
Yes.
Okay.
You will get a GIF of Beavis from Beavis and Butthead pulling his underwear over his head and becoming, because Cornholio is a character from Beavis and Butthead. And you'll get a gif of Beavis pulling his underwear, his tidy whities up over his head and declaring, "I am Cornholio."
Ah.
And so
I'm writing this down, Bob, because I'm going to tell Travis to go fetch it up.
And so every time you respond to a John Cornholio tweet, include that GIF.
Include that. There you go.
I've been doing it for a while now, and sooner or later it'll catch on.
There you go. Just keep it out there.
I do remember that, Bob. Hey, what do you think of this, John? If you were his advisor, right?
Who?
I agree with
Donnie's.
Beto.
Okay, thank God. I was going to tell him what bridge. Well, that one will do just fine.
I think the ship has sailed on this cycle's Senate run, right? I agree with that. And I think what is the woman's name again that's running against Cornholio?
MJ Hager.
Yeah, I mean, she's a
veteran.
Horrific.
Yeah, she is a veteran. She's been in combat. So, yeah, she's not just, she's got some experience.
I would not want Beto to supplant her. I think that's a terrible idea, right?
Yeah,
Don't eat your own. That's
right.
The whole cycle needs to be about.
I'm still keeping in my mind that there are, you know, you could say the tickets out loud and it sounds good, you know, Bernie Beto, Biden Beto. There's a lot there. That he could be attractive for a vice presidential pick.
Yeah, and, Betty Beto.
He certainly could.
Yeah.
He certainly could.
Elizabeth
but,
Warren,
what
Betty.
What do you think about
Betty Beto.
What do you think about maybe taking a high-profile cabinet position and then running for governor?
Well, I was about to go there myself, Christopher, because I don't even necessarily think the high-profile. Yeah. That's unhatched chicken counting, and I'm like John, I'm leery of that myself.
But he needs to keep his name in the news. He needs to keep his name up front because he has a lot to offer. And Texas, I swear, this time, baby, I'm feeling it. You know, two or three congressmen in this state that aren't going to rerun. They're not going to run again.
Well, not just that though, John. You know, of course, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
I love that shit, Bob. Go ahead.
He's in until 2024.
Right.
Yeah. So there's not going to be another Senate seat open in Texas until 2024 after this election cycle in 20. But the governor's race will be open.
Yes, it will.
And not to sit here and second guess, but... He's got that whole native son vibe going, and to be the governor of Texas and whip ass on a bunch of right wing Republican turds every day when they meet, you know, because your legislature only meets every 2 years anyway.
Yeah, every 2 years. Yeah, it's rough down here, man. I'm telling you, they think it's locked up.
There's a credible argument to be made for him running against Dan Patrick because Dan Patrick's a fucking idiot.
Fucking idiot. Yep. There you go. So yeah, there's hope for him yet. You know, but he's got to maintain his push for president. That's where he wants to go, and he can't. I don't think he wants to look like he just wants to back out prematurely. But I believe at a certain point, if things continue the way they are, we will see him. I'm glad Hickenlooper's thinking about running for the Senate out there. I don't know who he would be trying to step on. I don't know, but he seemed to be a popular governor out there. So,
well, whoever it is, the numbers for him are head and shoulders above anybody else who is put forth as a potential Senate candidate.
I'm feeling.
And Cory, and there is no one more vulnerable in the Republican caucus than Cory Gardner, especially given the fact that he's taken so much of that sweet, 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 sweet National Ruble Association money.
There you go. Money, yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. Yeah, the National Russian Alliance, yeah. I don't know, Bob. I'm feeling another blue wave for 2020. As much as this shitstorm goes on every day, and every day you're treated to another reason why to despise that asshole, I just think by the time we're rolling around here, there's going to be a pretty good size wave rise up, baby, because we
John, I think you're right, but Bob's right too. We can't sit on our laurels.
No, baby, no, we can't.
Granted, no. Everyone you talk to, vote.
I push it all the time because right up until the day this asshole was elected, I was for sure that this country was not stupid enough to elect a man like that.
That's where you and I part company, John, because I predicted it.
Yeah,
I predict.
Hey, I got to run to my concert, guys. So you all take care.
Oh, kiss my ass, Rick. Are you shitting me? Where's the limo? I don't see the limo out here, Rick.
The fox is on the run, John.
Boy, howdy shit, Rick. I hope you have a great time, buddy.
I'll get some great video of it. You guys take care. Okay?
All right. Have a great evening, Rick. Thanks a bunch, man.
You betcha. Good night, guys.
Good night,
Rick.
Hey, John. Guess who I'm going to go see next week?
Oh, kiss my ass.
I don't know if this is a local thing in Portland or if it's actually a traveling thing. Maybe Steve would know. It's a Sergeant Pepper's. There's like a band that's going to dress up all as the Beatles as Sergeant Pepper's, and they're going to do the entire album.
Man, that all.
Yeah, they were at the Fox not too long ago. We got rave reviews, John. You should have a good time, brother.
Chris,
I'm sorry, bro.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm getting old and forgetful.
I'm really looking forward to it.
In the words of what I usually say to Rick, kiss my ass, all right? I ain't going nowhere. I got to stay here. That's where I got to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. Sorry but I can't take you with you.
No, buddy, I'm telling you, that sounds like a hell of a concert. I wouldn't miss it if I knew. That sounds like it. That's my kind of music. I could chill out to that. You know, states other than Texas.
What was the name of the congresswoman that wanted to visit over at the Israel?
Oh, that was Rashida Tlaib.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way,
she wouldn't go. They told her, okay.
Yeah, finally. on a humanitarian basis. Yeah, no, no. I am a member of the Congress of the United States. If you are not going to welcome me as a member of the Congress of the United States, right the fuckity fuck off.
And that's then, what everyone in that Congress should do. Stand up and tell them that.
But then, get this. Okay.
How much money they get from us? Billions?
Yes. So if you go to the terms and terms of service of Twitter, you'll find this. Hateful conduct. You may not promote violence against, threaten, or harass other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or serious disease. That's Twitter's own rules. So what did Nitwit Nero do today?
Oh, I'm sure he broke out every freaking rule there is. He don't give a shit.
Representative Tlaib wrote a letter to Israeli officials desperately wanting to visit her grandmother. Permission was quickly granted, whereupon Tlaib obnoxiously turned the approval down, a complete setup. The only real winner here is Tlaib's grandmother. She doesn't have to see her now.
God, what a prick.
From a collective United States of America, hey, Donnie, the dictator. Collective ass.
It's because.
Yeah.
By the way,
that's him. He's a scumbag.
And see, anybody else would be shit canned from Twitter for that tweet, but not him.
He complains all the time how Twitter and all of them are being so mean to the conservative voice. You know, fuck you.
Yeah.
And the horse you rode in.
By the way, just to back up to the concert stuff a minute, and we got 28 minutes left in the program, and we got $110 to go to finish Chris's challenge. We badly need to do this, please.
Got to do this, people. Horn family, y'all need to step up a little bit there and pitch in a little bit. Doesn't have to be much, but just have to be a lot of y'all. So, and I know there's a lot listening. So, you know, do a patriotic thing there. That's what I consider it.
Well, thank you, John. Go, buddy. Before I knew that you were here, I was telling folks about the fact that we had a generous gift a week ago tonight, but it turned out to be a right-wing turd who just
fishing you in.
Yeah, who was just trying to play and you know get some sort of sadistic joy out of it. I don't know what. Sickening.
And that's exactly what it is. That's get you feeling like. I mean, these are
the same people. These are the same people who think it's okay to put children in cages. So, it's no surprise.
Not a bit. Not a bit. So the Horn family, make up for that, baby. When there's an asshole out there, that's when we need to shine. Whether it be over the radio like this, where it's needed, or if it's in person, baby, and you see something going on that just ain't right, stand up, baby. Do the right thing. Be the American. Be the proud one. I try to tell this all the time. Screw that right-wing shit. They are not the patriotic ones. They are not the ones that are on the side of American values. They've thrown everything they ever had out the freaking window and into the ditch and stopped pissed on it. There are nothing. The Democratic voice, the progressive voice in this nation is who is doing this fight. They're moving this fight forward every day, baby. And we do it on the air, and we do it in our own lives. It's the best thing you can do. When people say, well, how are we going to fight this racist shit coming out of the White House? You live your life in contrast to that. That's what we do, baby. Voice, we need your vote. And on occasion, baby, we need your dollar. And in this case, the dollar would come in real handy. So please, I'm asking you, be that one that helps out keeping that voice active. Because there's not a lot of us, especially out here in areas, Bob, you know, in West Virginia, myself in Texas, you know, there's voices where you don't think voices should be. And it is key to our.
Yeah. Operating from behind the corn pone curtain, John.
That's it, baby. That's it. On the front lines. That's where you are, Bob. And that's where we got to stay. We have to stay on this fight every day. You know, that thing they say, persistent. You know, and I come in late. Bob's been doing this a lot longer than me. I started the day after that asshole got elected was the time I found my voice and turned on my camera. I haven't stopped yet, and we can't stop. We have to be persistent in everything we do. This fight is over. You know, I remind people all the time, Mitch McConnell's book is The Long Game. That's the name of his book. And he plays that shit. We need to do the same thing because it's going to take years. After we take the White House, after we take the Senate, it's going to take years to repair the damage that this fool has done to our house. So, you know, again,
there is so much racist hatred bullshit out there. I mean,
that's right, baby. You live your life in contrast to that every day.
The other thing, John, that I think bears mentioning, and our friend Terrace mentioned this a couple of days ago based on a story that I was doing earlier in the week. And he said, it had to do with that Clemson study that said, well, never mind, people who were listening. But he said, I heard it mentioned on Bill Maher, but they gave no context and no background. And he said, you, on the other hand, went deep on it, and I got a great deal more understanding out of it. And he said, that's why I support the program. And I know the same is true with you, John. You give time to stories that the for-profit media can't or won't
They glaze over, you know.
Because there's nuance and there's detail that you really can't cover if the most important thing is hitting the fucking hard brake and selling somebody a goddamn buy gold now ad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we don't sell ads. We don't do shit. We don't have advertisers. All we have is our Patreon family and those that donate through PayPal or in the mail or something like that, that support our show, and that's who supports your show. I don't want to have, you know, I'm not into, hey, you know, advertise your shit on my show and I'll make some money off you. That's not why I'm in the game, you know.
Right.
Well, Bob, I wanted to throw a PSA at you. I know after your dirty morning habit, in case you get bored.
Is he doing that?
Yeah. You can always pull up. Now, hear me out. You can always pull up Washington Journal on your phone and go to open phones anytime, and they'll back you up, and you can start from the beginning.
Right. And I can just go screaming into the morning, right?
There you go.
Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. Yeah.
But that's where it's like a cold slap in the face. That's where you realize either this is staged or there's just so much hatred out there. We've got a fight.
I want to make sure and thank Terrace, because Terrace finished off fundraising for the week.
Outstanding, Terrace. Wow.
And then Terrace went a step further.
Oh, shit.
Terrace went a step further and took a big bite out of the little lion maggot.
Outstanding.
So that means the world. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, buddy. That's stepping up. That's what I mean. And don't let that stop anybody else from doing the same thing, because this is the long game. This is the long game. It's shit comes every month. You got to pay the bills on all that. And it's people like Terrence that make the difference, baby. And evidently, Terrence made a hell of a big difference, Bob.
Yes, Terrence did. Terrence is good people. Terrence,
I'm sorry. Good deal, worry. Baby.
I occasionally even make Terrence laugh while he's working out at the gym and people look at him funny. So, you know, I appreciate his willingness to take it.
Outstanding.
Yeah. To promise important and then to welch on it, to me, is a reflection of one's character.
And I
can't imagine doing that to anybody, you know.
You're not a maggot,
judge
Steve.
A person based on their character?
You're not morally bankrupt and ethically dead. The maggots are.
There you go. That's the difference between us. We're not willing, you know, that's the big thing I hear, Bob. Oh, well, John, you know, the stock market's doing great and the economy's doing. Kiss my ass. I don't care how much money you can have. Why don't you just tell me right outright what's your price for selling the values of this country down the toilet? What's your price a month to be able to sell this country down the toilet? Hear that shit. That's what I tell them. I'm sick of that. And
have you seen the stock market lately?
Yeah, because everything he touches dies, and Obama left a damn good market going, and we were progressing along just fine, and look at here, 2.5 years into this shit, guess what? Everything Donnie touches dies.
Yeah, and you know what? Die. That is the measure of what a fuck up he is.
Yes,
you're handed a well-oiled machine that's banging on all eight cylinders. And all you have to do is keep gas in the tank, keep the oil changed. And what does he do? He starts fucking trade wars, and he drives the he's going to drive the economy, and this is probably a bad bad metaphor for me to use, into a goddamn ditch.
Into a ditch, yeah. It's appropriate though, Bob. Current.
Well, it
was all intentional too, because he hated Obama so much, and I think you can trace it back to that correspondence dinner.
And I know, yeah, I know it's
so badly that it's what he wanted to do. That was his sole goal.
I know it's petty and small, but it's also happening in New York City, and there's more than 200,000 signatures on the petition to do it.
I hope they do.
I would dearly love it if they make Donald Trump live on Barack Obama Street.
If he got that. I'm telling you. I would love it. He would have to change his address. Are you?
Yeah, get the show you're a real man, Donnie. Get the fucking wrecking balls over and tear that tacky ass tower down.
That's right. Move it over to another street. Great. You don't want to be hanging out on a street like that, name like that. Move. Yep. I love it, baby.
Oh, and hey, by the way, I never have any concert recommendations, but I actually have one.
Oh,
Bob.
And Steve, I'm going to kind of aim this at you because it's not that far a drive. It's only 4 hours. You know, every Friday when Malloy closes his program, he's got a tagline. You know what it is. What does he say, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Good night, Kevin Kenny, wherever you are.
Well, next weekend, Kevin Kenny is going to be at the Billy Reed Shindig in Florence, Alabama. Driving and Crying is playing that big highfalutin festival there.
So he's going to be with Driving and Crying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
Kevin Kenny comes and does a solo act here probably once a year, you know, and it's a real treat. I can't imagine.
Oh, I'd love to figure out a way to be down there because
get out of here.
And just here, because they got to do I'm Going Straight to Hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen.
And it might be, and it's a small enough venue, a fella might get up and say, hey, Mike says, hey, you know.
Well, they're friends. They know each other. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah. I did see, with Driving and Crying, and they were with the group Cracker, too. I don't know if anybody remembers the song Low. Hey, seen them all on the same stage, and they did that straight to hell. They brought Kevin Kenny and Driving and Crying up with Cracker, and that was the grand finale. They did the straight to hell song. Man, that was a treat. That was at the Georgia Wine Festival downtown.
So.
What a good show, Bob.
Hey, John.
What in the world?
Your
world
rant
Grady
inspired
doing?
Me. Hey, John.
Oh, you can hear him?
I'm sorry.
Hey, John, your rant inspired a bumper sticker or a hashtag. How about GOP forsaken patriotism? We have
That's
to
it.
Grapple that back.
I'm telling you, baby. I preach that all the time. Screw them. I'm a veteran. I love this country. I love it dearly, and I love it enough to fight for it. And that makes me a patriot, baby. I'm not supporting some idiot up there in the White House. Obviously demented, obviously unfit for the damn job by anybody's measure. And I just won't stand by and shut up while this man stands up there and makes mockery of my country. And I do push that. I tell my people, take back that, you know, because some people have told me, John, I don't want to fly the flag. Kiss my ass. Let's fly the flag, baby. Be proud of that.
Absolutely.
And everybody, you tell them why. I tell them here in Texas, baby, all the time. You think that was nothing but a bunch of white guys in the Alamo? Kiss my ass. You know, this is what built America, you stupid shit. You know,
he had the nerve to call somebody fat at one of his Klan rallies last night, his own supporter. Yeah,
yes.
One of his own supporters. Yeah, imagine that. And Mooch said he's the fattest president since Taft.
Yeah, I like that Mooch came out. I don't give that guy much credit. He's
no, I don't either.
There have been days, but this time he came out and had something. I paid it. Yeah, look at there. Even the Mooch says it, Donnie. You know, one by one, you're going to see it. You're going to see a change. You're going to see that move. away from him.
Falling, yeah.
It's happening.
It is.
That disapproval rating has started to spike the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And he's starting to shit because
yes, he is.
There were a ton of empty seats last night in the Hampshire.
Oh, yep. Pray tell, Bob, was there not a full stadium with people outside just begging to get in, throwing themselves at the gate?
Nopers, sorry.
A boatload of progressives reserved those seats and didn't show up just to piss them off, you know?
I heard that, too.
Subversion, baby, subversion.
Cry me a river. Yeah. He's a disgrace. What?
Remember when he was in Western PA earlier this week, they had to pad the hall with working people who were paid time and a half to be there.
Boy, how to shit. Yeah, it's all for the show.
Story, Bob. Yeah,
it's all for the show. You know, it's all he's got. He's a TV guy. His ratings are the most important thing to him in the world. You know, he wants to be on TV, and as he's always told you before, good news, bad news, it doesn't bother him. He's in the news. He loves it. He worships it. He wants that chaos every freaking day.
People in PA, there wasn't a maggot hat to be seen behind him.
No, and what I found interesting was when I went over the rules sheet that came in, Sparky, those were union guys. And there was a specific line in the instruction sheet saying, your shop stewards have agreed to all of this. And there wasn't a maggot hat to be seen. So, you know, they were just doing the money thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay me, I'll be there. You know, hey, thanks for the check.
Time and a half. Fox I'll stand around. I'll stand around in tennis shoes for because they were told, you know,
yeah.
Don't worry.
He couldn't wear steel-toed boots.
Yeah, don't wear your steel-toed boots. Wear your tennis shoes. Wow. We're not going to be doing any crane inspections. We ain't doing shit today except worshiping Donald Trump.
There you go, and you get paid. You get paid for it. There you go. And what working ass man wouldn't take that?
Yeah, but then there because right.
These guys are out there busting their ass.
Right, but remember, it's also it's time and a half. But they were also told you don't have to show up. This is not compulsory. But if you don't show up, you don't get time and a half, whatever your hours are on Friday.
Yeah, you're just off that day. Jesus. You don't get no pay. And people can't afford that shit. It's just smoke and mirrors there, Bob. It's just, you know, to make the impression, to give the illusion. But I do say, at this point in the game, if you're going voluntarily to a Trump function,
Klan rally,
you are a deplorable. And I define that just like Hillary does. You're a racist asshole. You're a misogynistic asshole, a general asshole, whatever asshole category you fall into. That's what you are. Because you're demonstrating your ignorance that you don't know a damn thing, that you're unwilling to learn anything. You are blinded by the golden idol of Donnie. Is that what this shit is? Kiss my ass. I'm sorry, baby. My country's worth more than that shit. We don't get into worshiping golden calves and all that crap. And that's all Donnie is.
Even Fox News is slowly turning their backs on.
Slowly.
They are, and that's
him. Well, what is it? What does it say? What does it say when Jeanine Pirro got shit canned on the direct orders of Rupert fucking Murdoch?
Murdoch, yeah.
Well, I didn't even know about that, Bob.
Hey, did y'all hear about Lou Dobbs? What Lou Dobbs said?
No.
What did he say?
Oh yeah, Lou Dobbs said, you know that guy? It's Captain. Where I got his name written down? Captain. Thomas Woodworth. Woodworth. He is a correctional's officer in Central Falls, Rhode Island. He's the guy in the video you see running his truck up to a line of protesters.
Yeah,
they were protesting at an ICE detention center, and you know, five people were injured. One guy got his leg broke off. These were part of the Jewish Never Again Action. Party there or not.
Yeah, the protesters.
Activists. Yeah, the protests. Never again. And so those were Jewish people out there protesting that when this guy come running up there with his truck like he's going to run them over.
And used his vehicle as a weapon.
Yes, he did, baby. And Lou Dobbs spoke out on his show on Fox. Yeah, said that's his right. He has a right to do that. He's on his way to work. He's a law enforcement officer. He has the right to do it. That's what Fox spews. Lou Dobbs, Tucker Carlson, Laura
Ingraham, and you'll notice
Sean panty waist.
Yeah, you'll notice that Tucker Carlson immediately went on a fishing vacation at 9 p.m. at night with his boy.
Stay gone.
After
keep his ass gone. It's just, it smacks of nothing but racism, white nationalist crap. That's all they push over there. It's just ridiculous. I call it the most anti-American bullshit you can turn your TV to. Is that ridiculous excuse for a freaking propaganda machine. But that's what Lou Dobbs said. It's his right. He should have just gone right in there because he's in there. He has a job to do and all this blah, blah shit. And that's who they are.
Well, as we run out of time this evening, there's one more thing. I think one more story that I think needs to go into the ear of the universe, because back when the National Ruble Association came up with this lovely idea that the way we're going to protect children in schools is to put a bunch of guns in schools.
Oh, sure. Makes sense, don't it?
Abundantly. Everybody a bunch of people's, liberal panty-waist commie pinkos.
Oh, yeah. That's us. That's me. What was
we said, that might not be such a good idea because there's children all over them schools.
Yeah, teach them all how to shoot.
And they said, no, the only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good teacher with a gun. Well, let's travel to where else? Ohio, Texas, and West Virginia, getting some relief. Reporting from the Columbus Dispatch.
Oh, yeah?
Highland Elementary School in South Bloomfield Township.
Elementary school.
Yeah, and it happened back in the middle of March, but it's only now seeing the light of day.
Somebody told.
Well, there was a transportation director by the name of Vicki Nelson, and she was trained in the school district's concealed carry program and was allowed to bring a loaded gun, onto school grounds.
What could be safer?
Well, she had her grandson and the daughter of a coworker with her, who were both first graders.
Yeah.
And she was...
I feel I know where this is going, Bob. Go ahead.
She was in the office, and she had her Freedom Protector in a case.
Of course. Uh-huh.
And nature called, and Vicki Nelson toddled off kind of quick-like. You know how it is when it just hits, and, there ain't time to wait.
When you got
to
go, you're in a hurry. Run off and forget all sorts of shit.
She hurried off to the little transportation director's room, and when she came back... The two first graders, they had taken the gun out of the case and picked it up.
Serious little buggers, huh?
Yeah, they are. And they they handled it. Mercifully, nobody was killed.
Thank goodness. I don't know what miracle that is. Go ahead.
And so Superintendent Dan Freund said, "I'm assuming the child picked up the gun from behind the desk and had been holding it." So he removed Vicki Nelson from the concealed carry program in April.
Well, there's a good idea.
She got 3 days off without pay. But Superintendent Freund didn't bother to inform the local constabulary.
Oh, didn't inform nobody.
And so... only in the last little bit did Morrow County, Ohio Sheriff John L. Hinton discover that the incident had even happened, and he found out about it via somebody else's post about it on Facebook.
Boy, howdy shit.
The Columbus Dispatch notes, school boards must, by state law, adopt safety plans and policies in a public session.
You mean they have to inform the police and shit?
Well, that's Thomas Ash, who's director of government relations for the Buckeye Association of School Administrators, which has nothing to do with the Buckeye Newshawk Award. But school districts are not required to reveal details about firearm use, according to the Buckeye not Firearms required. Association.
Are you shitting me? Who's the screw butt that made that goddamn law? Are you shitting me?
Well, you'll notice that you'll notice that comes from the Firearms Association. And well, the Buckeye Firearms Association, it is worth noting, thinks that the NRA is a bunch of commie pinko liberal panty wastes.
There you go, people.
So they want more Vicki Nelsons, leaving more handguns laying around more schools.
What could happen, Bob? What could happen? What's the price of the Second Amendment? What is the price of your right to own that gun, baby? And the answer from that side is immensely, it's more than your kid's life is. It's more than that value.
Yeah, the price is children's lives. Meanwhile, Superintendent Freund said he became, in his words, physically sick when he learned about what happened. Remember, he heard about it and he suspended her.
Right.
And kicked her out of the concealed carry program. And he said others who heard about it were, his word again, horrified.
Horrified.
Then he added, if someone were to get in with an AR, we're talking devastation. Is it worth the risk to carry and prevent that? Well, one, it's not going to prevent shit. And no. However physically sick Superintendent Freund was, he wasn't physically sick enough to call, what was his name again? Morrow County Sheriff John L. Hinton to tell him about the incident in which a person committed an act which could reasonably be deemed to have been criminal in nature insofar as Vicki Nelson negligently recklessly and willfully left an unlocked gun case with a gun in it for a pair of first graders to fucking find. And the nerve of Freund to then turn around and say, well, you know, but she could definitely stop a school shooting because she's going to take the gun out of her case and start blazing. How many seconds passed? How many rounds were squeezed off by the lawful gun owner in Dayton, Ohio, before six cops who were standing right goddamn there?
Yeah, good guys with guns. They were right there.
Could take him down.
Gee, it's like we could think of something that was in common with these mass shootings like that. There was something that we could do, but we're not going to do shit, Bob. Because the price is not high enough yet. I don't know when we're going to hit that price. But,
hey, Bob, did you hear about the latest with Little Peter and his wife calivanting around with NRA, rubles and for makeovers and what have you with her stylist?
Wayne LaPeter?
Wayne LaPeter?
Well, he had to do – look, Wayne LaPeter had to do something. Because he had to do something for the little woman, because after all, that photo got out there of his intern.
Who was she about?
Well, intern? She was an intern. She was, and she had a inflatable flamingo bobbing around in the swimming pool in the apartment that the NRA kindly provided for her.
Oh, yeah. Just being nice, Bob.
And she was not wearing, I don't know if you heard this story earlier, John, she was not wearing modest culottes.
Uh-oh.
In fact, she was wearing something that the guys I used to run with back in the day referred to as butt floss.
Ah, I'm outraged, Bob. I'm totally outraged, like the guy with the gun.
So, she gets, I'm physically sick, John. I'm physically sick. And so having done all that for the intern, he had to do something for the little woman.
Well, of course, yeah.
With NRA rubles, no less.
Right.
Which is great.
NRA rubles paid for the intern.
Intern, yeah.
And the dental floss.
But one last thing before we go out the door. And by the way, an anonymous member of the Horn Family Community Congregation has wiped out the last of the deadbeats pledge.
No shit.
And that is awesome.
Horn family. It is. It is important. Y'all don't really know. I'm serious as a heart attack, baby. Y'all don't know how difficult that shit is to keep this thing, this voice, this station going. And man, whoever wiped that out, Terrace, thank you very much.
And thank y'all, you. And thank you, Anonymous. Yes.
Yes, Anonymous.
It's like that's insurance, Bob. You got maggot insurance.
That's what it is, baby. Save your country. Do away with the maggots. And
by the way, I saw a scientific fact the other day.
I love science, Bob.
Milligram for milligram, scientists have discovered that a maggot can jump as high as a flea.
Whoa.
Just useless information, but it might win you.
Thanks, Bob.
It might.
Every time I walk by an old trash can, I got to be ducking now. I got to be.
You goddamn right.
Zigzag and shit.
Well, you know, hey, it's like that sign that used to hang over toilets in public men's room. Please don't throw toothpicks in the toilet. Crabs can pole vault.
Get the hell out of here, baby.
But one last thing, since we had the story out of Ohio, one of the not brightest bulbs in the Republican Congress was invited onto Fox and Fiends recently. Because he once upon a time was a reality show star. And we're talking about Sean Duffy of Wisconsin, who actually represents the district where so many of my friends are up there.
Right.
He showed up on Fox and Fiends, where he declared that, wait for it, if we have Medicare for all, mass shootings, mass murders will increase.
That's why we need the slapping law.
That boy's got a bad case of the stupid, I tell you.
He needed slapping law just for people like that that say stupid shit like that. You ought to be able to slap the fuck out of them. And then when the judge says, well, how come you slap them? Well, he needed slapping for saying stupid shit like
that. Your Honor, I would direct the court's attention to Article 99A, Criminal Dumbass.
That's right. Right here, criminal done ass. Look under there. Underneath that subsection, available for slapping. See? It's right there in the law, Judge. That person needs to be slapped. You know, well, because the medical costs, don't worry about it. Yeah, shoot as many as you want. Well, send them down to the hospital. They get free care. The ones that don't make it, don't worry. Chuck will come by and pick them up.
And, you know, I mean, it's patriotic to take a shooting victim who survives. It's patriotic to leave them with $500,000 of medical debt. I mean, we wouldn't want to be like Canada or something.
No. We want to pour a little salt in that wound, baby. Profit care, baby. Got to make sure they make the profit. Yeah, just pour it right in there. They'll scream a little bit, but don't worry. They'll get used to it. They'll have to go to the doctor. Cha-ching.
Well, more John, money. I'm glad you popped by this evening. I was beginning to fret about you.
I'm sorry I haven't been by lately. I've been trying to keep my show going and all that, and we've lost YouTube, so that's a big hit to us. So yeah, I'm very in tune with your. Your need to keep that fundraising going, and like I said before to the Horn family, this is just Friday, baby. It starts again next week. It starts again next month. This is a long-term thing. We have to play the long game. So if you're so inclined, make sure that you support that voice that's out here speaking on your behalf. And where else are you going to find such fine entertainment for such a cheap price, baby? Nowhere. You can't do it.
And concert recommendations.
And concert recommendations and the possibility of learning everything you need to know about Shiny Honey.
And the leaping ability of maggots.
Of maggots. There you go. You won't look at a maggot next time the same way. Get away.
I'll be scared.
That's right.
Get away from me, you little jumping bastard.
I enjoyed it, and I enjoy the whole Horn family anytime I come by here.
Well, I wish you a wonderful weekend, John, and take care of yourself and everybody in the gathered around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and there in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks for coming by, and thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you so very much. Thanks so very much to all of you who have responded to the challenge this evening, and to Terrace and our anonymous friend. Thank you for knocking down the Deadbeat Maggots pledge. Thank you. And, thanks to all our subscribers and everybody who keeps it going along the way, night to night, evening to evening. Thank you. Thank you. This truly is a radio community that you have built. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thanks to Sparky for moderating over in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group, as he has for so very many years. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.